The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday. It is March 29th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the day after slapping Chris Rock on stage at the 94th Academy Awards, Will Smith issued an apology to the comedian, the Academy, and viewers at home, saying he was out of line and that his actions are not indicative of the man I want to be.
Hocus is up!
The fallout of Sunday's show continued Monday as the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Sciences condemned Will's onstage assault and said it would launch an inquiry into it. Later in the day, Smith gave a stronger apology than he did in his Best Actor acceptance speech, which notably didn't include apologizing to Chris Rock. Violence in all of its forms is poisonous and destructive, Smith said. My behavior at last night's Academy Awards was unacceptable and inexcusable. Jokes at my expense are part of my job, but a joke about Jada's medical condition was too much for me to bear, and I reacted emotionally. I would like to publicly apologize to you, Chris. I was out of line and I was wrong. I am embarrassed and my actions were not indicative of the man I want to be. There's no place for violence in a world of love and kindness.
Apparently, the Academy is very seriously pissed off about this, and they are rescinding the award. And also, people have pointed out, if you look at some of the other, I guess it's one other angle that I had not seen. He does initially laugh at that joke.
Oh yeah,
And then, as you pointed out, Preston, when he glances over at Jada and sees her reaction, I think that's, you know, it's like when you laugh at something that your wife, you know, doesn't find funny or whatever. It's like, and I think that's the moment at which he goes, I'm going to have to do something, and he did a wrong thing.
Mm. Smith added apologies to the Film Academy, producers of the telecast, attendees, viewers, and the Williams family. I am a work in progress, added Smith. Earlier Monday, the Film Academy said, the Academy condemns the actions of Mr. Smith at last night's show. We have officially started a formal review around the incident and will expose further action and consequences in accordance of our bylaws, standards of conduct, and California law.
I mean, I will say, I feel like I owe both of those guys like a huge debt of gratitude, because Twitter was actually a little bit fun yesterday as a result.
There were a lot of good memes.
A lot of good memes, a couple of jokes, you know, a couple of ones that actually made me laugh out loud.
One of my favorites is Will Smith slapping Patrick from SpongeBob.
Yeah. My favorite was, I totally stand with Will Smith. I would do the same thing if somebody says something embarrassing about my wife, you know, something that she felt embarrassed about, like her weird feet or her huge nipples. You know, and I was like, that is hilarious.
Smith was honored for his role as Richard Williams, father of Venus and Serena. The drama overshadowed his win and some other historical wins at the Oscars. The deaf family drama Coda became the first film with a largely deaf cast to win Best Picture. For the first time, a streaming service, Apple TV, took Hollywood's top honor, signaling a profound shift in Hollywood and in movie going. Ariana DeBose of West Side Story became the first Afro-Latina and the first openly LGBTQ actor to win Best Supporting Actress. Quick-hitting snow squalls brought many to a halt around the Delaware Valley yesterday. Wind and cold air left behind snow and ice, providing a shock to the system after the area enjoyed spring-like weather for the last few weeks. Businesses and residents are taking measures to save their spring plants that they already purchased by bringing them inside for now. And if you can't bring them inside, the suggestion is to put a bag over them. Meanwhile, Monday's snow squalls also claimed the lives of at least three people after a massive pileup on Interstate 81. The Schuylkill County coroner said three fatalities have been confirmed. That was by late afternoon, and they were saying the number could possibly rise.
That footage was astonishing.
Crazy.
If you think you're watching something from a movie, because it's large vehicles colliding with other large vehicles.
Because they couldn't see them stopped,
Yes, Kathy, and people getting out stunned, as Casey was pointing out, we were talking before, they're stunned and they're standing in the middle of the street as this thing is still cascading.
Yeah. And high rates of speed, too. It looked like many of them didn't have a chance to slow down at all.
At all. Mm-hmm. Like, didn't see anything.
And I will say, remember, I mean, the nor'easter that you drove all the way home in.
Yeah.
You know, I was driving on, was it 81 that I was on?
80.
I was on 80.
Okay. I was behind you.
Okay, but like, people were driving fast. I'm like, it is snowing out.
Yeah.
And this road is not plowed. Like, I don't care if you have a four-wheel vehicle. That does not matter.
No, you're not impervious.
No, not at all.
This was mainly about visibility.
Yeah,
that was it.
Too.
Awful.
Yeah. As one person was pointing out, they're driving along and they have the full panoramic view of clear road in front of them. And then within seconds, whiteout.
Mm-hmm. I got stuck in one of these ones on a highway. And it changed so quick that I was like, oh, no, because you don't want to slam on your brakes either,
It happened to me yesterday on the Northeast Extension. I rolled right into this squall. It came out of nowhere. And it didn't go to whiteout condition, but it went full-on gray and
right.
Less visibility. And then on the other side, by the time I got to the Lansdale exit, it was sunny out.
Yeah.
It was this bizarre, really fast-moving, intense storm.
Mm. I don't think we're going to see any of those today. I mean, it's still going to be cold. They're saying maybe some flurries, I heard, but I don't think we'll see any of this today. A new telephone number in Philadelphia is designed to provide real-time resources to critical violence prevention and intervention services. On Monday, city officials introduced 211, calling it a 24-hour hotline. Residents can call the number to access specialized resources to help resolve a potentially dangerous situation before it turns violent. But city leaders are quick to add that 211 can be used for much more. The Philadelphia Managing Director says you can call 211 to find out what recreation center is near you, what youth program your child might want to attend, to find out if there is a mentoring program in your neighborhood as well.
There's a program in Colorado that, as I was reading about the other day, it's having tremendous success with mental health calls. And so instead of calling police and you call the service, and they're seeing like a really, really dramatic improvement in fewer people having confrontation and getting having to go to jail or incidents of violence and stuff like that. So if it's you got to meter the situation, though, obviously, and call the right place.
It's not for everyone. But also with these things comes getting that number known, getting people to know that it's accessible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So examples of the kinds of services and resources which will be available to residents who call the 211 hotline for help include conflict intervention, youth violence prevention, peer counseling, referrals to violence prevention community organizations, neighborhood crisis mediation services, workforce development and job training programs, behavioral health and crisis support services, community support services for vandalism, graffiti, litter, and vacant lots, and then after-school programming, mentoring, and academic support services.
That's a lot. What's the number you call before you dig again, Kathy?
What was that?
811. 411.
No, not 411. That's information.
811. 722. I don't know. I'm doing something else.
He's a number game. Dilemma.
Oh, I wasn't talking to you guys.
Philadelphia already recorded at least 120 homicides 3 months into the new year. City officials are hoping that 211 can help stem the tide. In sports this morning, the Sixers will look to bounce back from their loss to the Phoenix Suns when they host another one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, the Milwaukee Bucks. With only 8 games remaining in the regular season, the Sixers and the Bucks have the same record of 46-28 and are tied for second place in the East, a game behind the Miami Heat for first. Tip-off in South Philly is scheduled for 7 o'clock. The Flyers finish up their 5-game road trip with a matchup in Minnesota tonight against the Wild. The puck will drop at 8 o'clock. In soccer, the U.S. men's national team is on the brink of qualifying for the World Cup after its 5-1 win over Panama. Mm. Christian Pulisic scored his first career hat trick with the national team in a match that eliminated Panama from contention for a place at Qatar. With 25 points and sitting in second in the final qualifying table, the Americans would need to suffer a 6-goal deficit against Costa Rica tomorrow to be denied automatic qualification. The match is set to begin at 9 o'clock tomorrow night in San Jose. And in college basketball, UConn's women's team extended its streak of consecutive Final Four appearances to 14 as the number 2 seeded Huskies beat the number 1 seeded NC State 91-87 last night in double overtime. The game featured 9 ties and 13 lead changes by the time the final buzzer sounded. The Huskies will face Stanford at 9:30 on Friday at the Target Center in Minneapolis. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks, Kath. So Tuesday morning, here we go. We got some stuff to give away, some people to talk to. We do have some guests on the show. We're going to have Adam Goldberg, who we haven't chatted with in a while, on our friend Bill Beretta.
Yes.
And this is in conjunction with the Muppets Mayhem. So we'll see what's up in their world and see how Adam has been doing as well. See how his mom is.
Yes.
We haven't talked to his mom in a while.
Definitely, yeah.
So that'll be around 9 o'clock or so. Our friends from Jersey Mike's are stopping in today, too. And that means that we will have some giveaways in conjunction with their appearance. And they're celebrating their 12th annual month of giving Because tomorrow, if you buy a sub at any Jersey Mike's, 100% of the sales are going to go to the Special Olympic USA Games.
That's pretty awesome.
We've been mentioning that in their ad campaign leaning up to this. So they're going to stop by today and drop off some stuff for us, some food. That means we'll have some gift cards to give away to you throughout the program.
Excellent.
As well. It's Tattoo Tuesday.
Hey.
That means we have a chance for you to impress Preston and Steve themed tattoo. It's a $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. They're on they're at 1729 South Street in Philly. And if you would like to get some ink on us and Floating World, text the word tattoo to 39333 and keep in mind about what Preston and Steve theme you would like to get in your ink. All right, so we'll get that underway right now. You can go ahead and do that. We'll take a break. We'll come back in a second. We'll expand a little bit more.
Yes.
On the Oscar slap and so on with the Entertainment Report. A stupid question awaits as well. We'll be back in a moment.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Listen on our mobile app or go to WMMR.com. It's kind of self-explanatory after that.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
This traffic report brought to you by the new...
Hey!
You're going to have to bear with me here because now... I have to...
Sing.
No, hold on.
Please, sing.
Hold a minute. I have to reopen my pages.
By the way, when now. Kathy turns on her computer this morning, she basically has to reprogram the entire thing.
Yeah, and I guess I have to do it for the sponsor page, too, which I was not aware of. Now I am. This traffic report is brought to you by Insperity. Do you feel boxed in by the pressures of running your business? With 30-plus years of HR service, Insperity can help lighten your load, expand your possibilities at Insperity.com. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Is this issue you have because our company requires you to have that specific kind of computer?
Yes, of course. It's not compatible with the traffic pages that I pull up. So I have to do all of these things that I'm not used to doing. I'll get used to it.
You'll get used to it?
We'll get there.
It's like when you're in prison. You get used to it.
Yeah, eventually. It becomes routine.
Thursday sodomy day. There we go. Yep.
All right, so stupid question this morning. Going to give away a $50 Metro Diner gift card. Here's a question that I have for you. According to my source,
all right,
what U.S. Navy rank is indicated by three equal stripes? 215263 WMMR. What U.S. Navy rank is indicated by three equal stripes? All right, let's see if you know the answer. Call now, 215263 WMMR. Kill some time going through some birthdays while we're waiting for your answer. Today we have, by the way, it's March 29th. Jennifer Capriati, the tennis player, is 46 years old today. We're going to talk about Will Smith.
Yes.
He played King Richard in the movie about Serena and Venus Williams' father. Jennifer Capriati is mentioned quite a few times in that movie because it was around that time that she was the star.
The big one, yeah, absolutely.
That these two were trying to make their way in. Now, Jennifer Capriati, you remember, fell on hard times.
She did.
She had a drug problem, and she was just a teenager. She was like 16, 17 years old.
Yeah, that's the thing. We were in high school when she hit, right? And so it was like, oh, this chick is my age.
Mm-hmm. Who was the one who was attacked on the court?
That was Monica Seles.
That's Monica Seles, right.
But Capriati was like, 15, 16 years old.
Athena.
She was on the world stage.
Yeah.
The pressure got to her, and she kind of went another direction. Yeah,
you can understand it. The whole world's looking at you.
Yeah,
big things.
Just had some chick retire, and I didn't know who she was, but she's 25 years old, the top of her game. She just retired.
Wow, she's 46 today, Jennifer Capriati. The great Eric Idle of
Monty. Doesn't it all be nice to have a penis?
That's him. Yes.
Okay.
Monty Python's Flying Circus, and I've always loved that guy. He's in so many great things, and he was one of my favorites in Monty Python. He celebrates his 79th birthday today. He did the Ruddles.
The Ruddles. All he ever did was the Ruddles, even besides Monty Python.
Yep.
That was the first really solid Beatles parody.
We also have Lucy Lawless, Xena, Warrior Princess.
Love her.
La, 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 la.
Yeah, I got it.
I can't do it. I can't hit the I can't hit the falsetto. There she is. She is 54 today.
That's good.
She's trying. She's training. Yeah. No, like this. Now you try it.
No. Close. Elle McPherson, supermodel, turns 58 today.
Was she called The Body?
I think she was. Elle McPherson. The Elle, The Body McPherson. She was Australian, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's in a movie called Sirens.
I remember
that movie.
Remember that
movie? Yeah, I got that on VHS.
What was that about?
Well, I don't know, because there was nudity, and that's why we got it on VHS. I think the rest of the movie was pretty forgettable.
It seemed to be some sort of place they were at.
I believe she was topless for a stretch in that movie, and therefore the rental.
Then you have a great actor, Brendan Gleeson.
He's excellent.
Yeah, he's in so many great things. Gangs of New York, he's fantastic. He's the guy that runs against, politically, he ends up becoming the sheriff.
Right,
Dale doesn't like that. He's in Braveheart. Nick in the Harry Potter series, he was Mad-Eye Moody.
Oh, yeah.
Edge of Tomorrow?
Edge of Tomorrow. He's the head general.
Oh, yeah.
And there's I liked the first season. I didn't finish the second season of Mr. Mercedes, which is a Stephen King series. Well, it's one book, but it's this one guy, Hodges. It's a series of him, and he's a detective. He's really good.
Is it uneven? Was that the issue with it?
The first season was great, and then the second one, what they did was it's not as good.
Okay.
It gets a little bit far out there, but I do need to finish it. But Brendan Gleeson is great. He's 67 today. John Popper of Blues Traveler turns 55 years old today.
Who are we talking about getting him in studio?
Chris Barron.
Yes.
Yeah, because they're touring together.
They're touring together.
Yeah.
Could you imagine having Chris Barron and John Popper in the studio?
Awesome. That'd be awesome.
A couple of instruments.
Chris said they were playing City Winery, but I think they're playing the Brooklyn Bowl, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Instead. So, if we can get them both in here, that'd be really cool. John Popper celebrates his 55th birthday today. Steve, Amy Sedaris.
I love her.
I know you like Strangers with Candy.
You know what she's really good in, Preston? The Mandalorian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
She is a character in The Mandalorian.
An elf. I love her in Elf.
Yeah.
Who is she playing Elf?
She's the secretary.
Okay.
What's a candygram? I want one.
She is 61 today. Perry Farrell turns a year older today. He is 63 years old. He apparently was incredibly close with Taylor Hawkins. And when we get to music news later on today, he wrote this this lovely letter about him.
You know where he pops up, Preston, also? He apparently is good friends with Soleil Moon Frye. He's in that documentary Kid 90.
No kid.
I know, Marissa, you saw it, and he's prominent throughout it.
Well, so he turns 63 years old today. Marina Sirtis. Deanna Troi from The Next Generation, Star Trek. She is 67.
Always loved her.
Very much so.
Yep. When they finally were able to define what her capabilities were, it was vague in the beginning. Like, what's your story?
She can sense emotions, right? She can...
He stormed out of the room. I sense he's upset.
Right.
We got it.
Right, but she could do it on a deeper level.
Right, yeah.
So she is 67 today. Christopher Lambert, he was Greystoke, and of course the Highlander movies as well.
You had to be a fan of the Highlander when it came out. Did you see it?
But I didn't fall deep into
it. Yeah, yeah.
And it's one that I do need to revisit, to be honest.
Listen, it probably it doesn't age well,
right.
But at the time you had the Queen doing the music.
Yeah.
You had Sean Connery, you had that. You had Russell Mulcahy, a very visionary director. Clancy Brown.
Yeah.
It's all cool.
Yeah. He is 65 today. And the last birthday, actor, comedian Chris D'Elia. Or how did we say?
D'Elia?
D'Elia, is that how we pronounce his name?
He was the one who was, I think his stand-up is funny, and he got into a little bit of Me Too stuff. And he was digitally removed from Army of the Dead.
That's right.
And Tig Notaro was replaced, and it's done seamlessly.
Yeah. He turns 42 today. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question, what U.S. Navy rank is indicated by three equal stripes? This is my source. I'm telling you.
We have said those are the rules. Whatever you say is the actual fact.
Nick, can you double check on that for me? Three equal stripes. And let me see here what comes up. I just want to confirm.
Okay.
Understood.
That I have a correct answer here. And What's coming up here?
Three.
All right. Yeah, we're going to go to Scott. Hey, Scott, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
All right, Scott, three equal stripes equals what rank?
I'm going to say your sources say captain.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Everybody else on the line says captain. I have commander.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we would have accepted commander. Well, captain actually looks like it has four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eh, whatever, man.
Whatever. Captain Commander.
I'm giving Scott the prize, but Commander is what we were looking
Captain
for.
Captain Commander, we need to talk to you.
Dear Captain Commander, we are going to set Scott up with a $50 Metro Diner gift card. You can get hooked up every Friday and enjoy the gold standard in fish and chips. And that's at Metro Diner, including their newest fried shrimp and fried seafood platter. It's available for dine-in, pickup, or order online at MetroDiner.com. So I apologize to those of you in the U.S. Navy. I got that wrong, but we just gave away.
You were a Green Beret, and that's where you got confused.
I get a little confused. Different branch. All right. As Kathy was saying earlier, Will Smith had issued an apology to Chris Rock. I will read this. He, on Instagram, he wrote, "Violence in all of its forms is poisonous and destructive. My behavior at last night's Academy Awards was unacceptable and inexcusable. I would like to publicly apologize to you, Chris. I was out of line, and I was wrong. I am embarrassed, and my actions were not indicative of the man I want to be. There is no place for violence in a world of love and kindness." He said, "I would like to apologize to the Academy, the producers of the show, all the attendees, and everyone watching around the world. I would like to apologize to the Williams family and my King Richard family. I deeply regret that my behavior has stained what has been an otherwise gorgeous journey for all of us. Please, God, don't take away my Oscar." Now, I added that last part.
Oh, geez.
That's really what
I added that last part.
But that's what it is. And he says something there, and honestly, think about that. Both Coda and the Williams sisters, this was a passion project, right? On both levels. Yep. He had something pretty historical with Coda.
Yes.
That is gone.
It's gone.
That is gone.
No one will remember that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it'll have to be brought up. It'll
right.
have to be, you know, you won't remember this as the Oscars where the deaf cast won.
Was the conversation yesterday like a deaf cast won an Oscar, and this guy did this whole performance, the second only in history besides Marley? That's all gone.
I mean, his own win. You know, he just completely overshadowed his own amazing performance and by being an idiot.
Were Venus and Serena there?
They were there.
I haven't heard anything from them yet.
Yeah, no, I know. Because
they're team Chris Rock.
But he says, "I hope they didn't see that." How would they?
They were sitting right there.
What do you mean?
Yep.
Do you think he started walking up? Because he's pretty close to the stage where he was seated. He started walking up not knowing what he was going to do. And then when he got face to face with Chris, was like, "Well,
probably started to do something." Started with the purple nurple. And then
got your nose.
Yeah,
he starts with that.
Got your nose.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I got your nose!
No, Case, I think, honestly, because he's laughing at first, and then you look over, you see Jada, and she's obviously
felt
hurt by it.
Yeah.
And then he saw that, and he's like, uh-oh, she saw me laughing, I better do something now.
I think
that he walked up there and was kind of covering his ass a little bit.
I think there's a lot of credibility to that take.
I've seen, I was reading a lot of reactions, and there are people on either side from celebrities as well that are saying he did the right thing by defending his wife, and I still can't get behind the whole defending his wife thing, because short of smacking someone in the face, there's something else you can do.
Right.
You can defend your wife by simply saying something.
From your seat, you could have said, "That's not funny."
Or to even make a bigger impact, walk up on stage and say something.
As I originally suggested, if you want to say, "My wife suffers from a condition, could you please apologize?"
But short of assault, you can defend you can defend your pride, your wife's pride, whatever it may be, without going that far.
I also think there's a level of it where surely everyone knows this because we're high profile figures. Hey, you're the entertainment break guy. We do a ton of scouring of entertainment sites.
Yes.
I had no idea she had alopecia.
Yeah, well, but to some people it was well known, and I know what you're saying, Steve. Yeah. So anyhow, the Academy posted a statement to Twitter that said, "The Academy does not condone violence in any form. Tonight, we're delighted to celebrate our 94th annual Academy Award winners. who deserve this moment of recognition from their peers and movie lovers around the world. On Monday, they released a statement saying that they're conducting a formal review. They said the Academy condemns the actions of Mr. Smith in last night's show. We have officially started a formal review around the incident and will explore further action and consequences in accordance with our bylaws, standards of conduct, and California law as well.
In other news, did you see Venus's nipple?
Oh, she had a nip slip?
So it definitely was a nipple?
Wait, we talked about this yesterday, off air.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I thought apparently it was some lace or something like that.
I thought it was lace.
It's not lace.
Oh, it's a nip?
What lace? She's not even wearing a lace dress.
I didn't see it. I heard you guys.
Who was in red? Who was in red?
No, she's in white, Casey.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a nipple.
It's clearly a nipple.
Oh, okay.
Was it when they were introducing Beyonce to sing?
Oh, no, Case. It was when Will was up there speaking, and he said thank you to them, and the camera zoomed in on her, and she kind of was like, kind of just had like her hands
put
crossed.
Put your nipple back your dress.
So it kind of moved the dress, and it probably was, like what she has looks like some wiring. There was probably tape, and it just looks like it came off.
A little bit of everything happening.
Listen. We have an Oscar where a nip slip doesn't even rate.
It's not even
in the top three, Preston.
Yep.
I have a suggestion on how to fix all this. Sean Penn says that he's going to smelt his Oscars.
Right, because they didn't have Vladimir.
Take away Will's good one and give him back a melted one.
There you go.
It's kind of in between.
Yeah. By the way, some Twitter users commented on the possibility of Smith losing his Oscar, saying if we are talking about taking back Oscars, let's start with Roman Polanski. One year's wrote another comment of the Academy spent decades ignoring rape by Harvey Weinstein before it was forced to remove him from its membership and never once took action against violence by Roman Polanski and so on and so forth, or Mel Gibson, who continues to promote hate. So these were some comments. Now, our union, SAG-AFTRA, wrote, as the union representing presenters and other performers working on the Oscars, SAG-AFTRA is focused on ensuring our members always work in a safe environment. The statement said, violence or physical abuse in the workplace is never appropriate, and the union condemns any such conduct. The incident involving Will Smith and Chris Rock at last night's Academy Awards was unacceptable, and we have been in contact with the Academy, Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, and ABC about this incident. We'll work to ensure this behavior is appropriately addressed. SAG-AFTRA does not comment on any pending member disciplinary process. So the union might have a big problem with this.
Oh, there is. So apparently, and they say they don't comment, but obviously comments have leaked out of the Academy, is my understanding, and that there are people who are very militant about getting that Oscar back from him. They were totally offended by what Will Smith did.
By the way, Chris Rock's team has denied that he released an apology statement to Will Smith shortly after Smith released his statement. A fake apology statement from Rock began circulating online. Hollywood Reporter journalist Rebecca Keegan tweeted, Chris Rock has not yet issued a statement. There is a statement going around purporting to be Rock that is not from him. Per his team, it's the one that starts, as a comedian, it can be difficult to understand, ..
Uh-huh.
So that did not come from
That's
him.
Not from him.
Meanwhile, Chris Rock's team also denied that Diddy's claims that he and Will squashed their beef, telling TMZ that Will and Chris have not spoken at all after the slap. Because he was saying yesterday, Diddy was, that they patched it up and everything's fine.
Why did he doing that?
A source said that Chris went straight to his dressing room after the slap and there hasn't been any communication between Will and Chris. A person in Chris's camp also said the comedian had no intention of staying initially.
I heard that Diddy took Will Smith fly fishing and prearranged to have Chris Rock there.
Oh.
And then they spent the afternoon fly fishing and then patched everything up.
Is that like a movie?
The source also noted Chris Rock didn't have any idea Jada Pinkett Smith had alopecia and that he doesn't have a mean bone in his body. Now, in other news, Chris Rock's tour ticket sales have skyrocketed after the slap. And according to sources, ticket sales for Rock's Ego Death Tour went from $46 per ticket on March 18th to a whopping $341 per ticket. Now, reports also say that Will and Jada are set to break their silence on the Oscar slap on an upcoming episode of Red Table Talk.
Of course, that's where they're going to do it.
The couple will allegedly tape the episode as early as this week, so we will see. And by the way,
making lemonade out of lemons.
Outside of the whole slapping thing, the Academy Awards improved its ratings from last year's pandemic-affected show with an estimated 15.4 million viewers, up 56%. from 2021. That's quite a bit. And it was still the second lowest in viewership history, but it's headed in the right direction.
So obviously that event wouldn't have fueled the...
No.
I think what you did have is, as we said, I'd seen more of the movies.
Yeah.
I think people have more of a chance to see the movies with the streaming options.
Right, yeah.
I mean, if you were to take bets, right, before the event, and say, listen, one actor is going to slap another actor on stage. Like, what are the odds that it's going to be Will Smith?
I'll tell you what, the odds like just went up.
It's like a billion.
Like a billion. The odds just went up on us seeing an actual act of oral sex next year.
Yeah.
Because, how do you top that?
Oh, my God.
Yep. Among the changes that were made to try to boost ratings were removing 8 less attention-grabbing categories, such as film editing, production design, makeup, and hairstyling from the broadcast, and allow fans to vote online for their favorite film to be recognized during the show. So, that's all the Oscar stuff. Well, one more thing.
One more.
Oh, yeah.
While it may have summed up how many people felt after watching the slap at the Oscars, how can she slap? Page Six reports that the image of Nicole Kidman reacting was actually from earlier in the day. Now, I did not see this.
Yeah, you could tell. She had sort of like a grinning thing with her, like, oh, my gosh.
Okay.
But in fact, there are a ton of pictures out there purporting to be celebrities' reactions, and half those celebrities weren't even there.
Yeah, right. This reaction took place at like 4:30 in the afternoon while guests were still arriving, so it had nothing to do with that.
There's a picture of Jackie O climbing out of the back of a limo, and it just was not there.
All right, so Us Weekly reports that Love is Blind host Nick Lachey allegedly tried to grab a photographer's phone as she was trying to take a picture of him and his wife, Vanessa Lachey. And he said, last night after enjoying a great dinner with my wife and our dear friend, the paparazzi, harassed us as we walked back to our hotel. I clearly overreacted. I've been in this game long enough to know that their antics are sadly part of the deals.
I like Nick Lachey.
I like him a lot, too.
And he did. You look at certain people who manage to have no issue. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, Nick Lachey has been in that camp. What are they doing? They're not, hey, guys, sure. Yeah. And then I'm going to move along. It's not that there are some real scumbags in that group that are trailing you, but look at people like Tom Hanks, who's, navigated, big star, navigated and never ends up with an issue.
Right. Do you think any of these laws may change over the years?
Paparazzi laws?
Just in general, because there are, everybody has a camera on them. Every person essentially has a camera on them at all times. And so when these laws were sort of created or whatever that protected the paparazzi, not that many people on the street were carrying it.
I don't know. It's a good question.
Because the more I look at it, the more I side with people. Like, there was a basketball guy last week who he ended up getting fined $40,000 or something like that. But this a-hole, was like courtside, chirping. And he just walked over, he grabbed the phone and he tossed it, and then he ended up getting, $40,000 fine.
Right,
and
I'm like, you're siding with whom?
Siding with the basketball player. This fan who just thinks that he has the right to say and do.
Are they forbidden from doing that?
Well, I don't know.
Is that a courtside rule?
Everybody's emboldened these days, and I think the more you see, people go,
sure,
no, this doesn't fly.
If the guy wasn't in violation of any rule, and as somebody sitting courtside, you can say, hey, you suck, or do that.
Yeah, I unfortunately don't know the entire situation surrounding the. What happened?
You're pre-med, not
pre-med. Exactly. No. I'm trying to think of who it was. It wasn't Jokic. It was... It was a
Meadowlark Lemon?
Right. It was not.
You can get back to us on that.
I'll get back to you on that. Curly Neal.
Curly Neal. I like him. He can dribble.
Yeah. God rest his soul. Actor Ezra Miller has found themselves in trouble with the law once again following a late-night Sunday evening arrest in Hawaii. The 29-year-old actor was at a karaoke bar in Honolulu on Sunday evening where they were harassing a number of patrons with belligerent behavior. The police were called around 11:30 in the evening, and they arrested the actor on charges of disorderly conduct and harassment.
Now, there are rumors that he has substance issues. And there are rumors, that in the Justice League, when he started running fast, that wasn't a special effect. That he is taking something.
The incident happened at a karaoke bar in Honolulu, where Miller was reportedly hurling obscenities at a 23-year-old woman singing karaoke. The actor was trying to grab the microphone from the woman while she was in mid-song.
I like Ezra Miller a lot. I think he's definitely got some demons he's got to take care of.
Later on the night, they lunged at a 32-year-old man who was playing darts at the bar. The bar owner reportedly asked him to calm down numerous times, though that tactic seemingly didn't work, and police were called. They placed Miller under arrest and took them into custody, and it's unclear how long Miller was in custody for, although they posted $500 bail and was ultimately released. And it wasn't the first brush with the law for Miller or controversy. The actor, having been arrested for drug possession in June of 2011.
Yep.
And also a couple of other things along the way. There was apparently video that surfaced in April of 2020 when Ezra was appearing to choke a woman and slam her to the ground in Iceland.
Yeah. I heard about that, too. I didn't see the footage, but I heard about it.
So
he's definitely got something going on.
Yep.
And we'll see, because the Flash movie is coming out. They're building a franchise on him. I think he's really good in the role, but what are you going to do, man?
Yeah, get it together if you can. Get some help. Let's see here. How about this? According to Us Weekly, Tayshia Adams said it wasn't a surprise to hear that Jesse Palmer is hosting the new season of The Bachelorette.
Oh, it didn't surprise me at all.
No. Tayshia said, Caitlin and I both had a phone call weeks prior saying that they were going to go forward with Jesse, so it wasn't really a surprise.
I'm going forward with Jesse.
I'm very happy for him. I feel like he's been so sweet and kind to me, so I wish everybody that takes that position the very best, and I'm excited to see the new season.
Hey, girl, want to go to DSW?
Despite the rumors stating otherwise, it looks like Jason Momoa and Lisa Bonet will not be getting back together.
Oh, yeah,
that was his last chance at finding a woman.
The Dune star told Access Hollywood at the 49th Annual Academy Awards on Sunday, we're not back together. We're family. We have two beautiful children together. Source told Hollywood Life,
I think you're beautiful, man.
Recently that the pair were reconciling.
It's my new buddy, bro.
But no.
Show him what you do with your jam, bro. Jason loves this.
But no definitive statements regarding that rumor have been made until now. According to, let's see, he told Entertainment Tonight, the premiere of The Batman, Lisa couldn't be here, so we're representing me and the babies. As much as it seemed like the rumors could be true, Momoa reiterated on Sunday that we're not getting back together, but we are family forever.
It's very cool to have, you know, he gets along very well with Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah.
You know, who's Zoe Kravitz.
If you can make that work, wow, everybody wins.
Save a lot of pain.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely.
And by the way, the story behind that is this kid was standing courtside. It was Yusef Nurkic. I can't say his last name. Okay.
We're going back to the basketball game.
I just want to follow up because the kid yells to him, your mother is trash. And then he called his grandmom a bitch. And then the dude's like, okay, all right. You know, listen.
If that's not illegal and forbidden, you know, for I don't know. I don't know.
I'm just saying there are consequences for your actions and the consequences for this kid's actions, thinking he was going to be tough and whatever.
Right.
You know, okay. Because he was trying to get a reaction. So he was filming him. And so he took his phone and then ended up tossing.
So he got it. He got a reaction.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he got what he was going after. And if dude can afford the fine, then go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
There you go.
But listen, some venues have rules. I've been at games where the ushers have come over and said, hey, can you back off a little bit?
Yeah.
Please. You know, so it all depends.
Slow your roll, bro.
Where you are.
Yeah.
Back to entertainment.
Yes.
Following the backlash that she received from the advice that she gave to women in business during a recent interview with Variety, Kim Kardashian has offered an apology.
Sorry.
On Good Morning America yesterday, she told Robin Roberts that her get your effing ass up and work comments were taken out of context.
Hey, both your names begin with the same letter, too.
She told that to Robin Roberts?
Yeah. So yeah, I know.
She said, well, that statement that I said was without questions and conversation around it. It became a soundbite, really, with no context. And that soundbite came off the notion and the question right before, which was after 20 years of being in the business, you're famous for being famous. And my whole tone and attitude changed with the previous question that went into that question about what advice would you give to women.
What is she saying here?
In the third caveat of the fourth paragraph.
Listen, I think the point she was trying to make is you need to work for what you... You need to earn what you're going
and
to
she's
get.
She's right on that. She has the benefit of what you would call seed money.
Oh, yeah.
So
quite a bit of it.
Right, quite a bit of it. And then sold her own butt violation video for a nice financial start as well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not saying that she's not working mightily. I'm sure she is.
Yeah.
She's balancing an empire. It's clear. She knows what she's doing.
But I guess it's from the source.
Yeah.
Get your effing ass up and work can sound a little condescending.
Did you ask Oz?
Yes. It seems the star felt like all the work she had put into becoming successful was being minimized. And she added, it wasn't a blanket statement towards women or to feel like I don't respect the work or think that they don't work hard.
I'll tell you what, all this has prompted her to create a sad skimoji.
She said, I know that they do. It was taken out of context, but I'm really sorry if it was received that way. So kind of an apology.
Yeah.
And by the way, over the weekend, she gave fans a sneak peek at one of the tattoos Pete Davidson got in her honor. On Saturday, she shared a photo of her boyfriend's ink to her Instagram story. Located above Davidson's left clavicle, it reads, my girl is a lawyer.
It's a bad looking tattoo.
Yeah,
it looks like a hand.
Tattoo.
Yes, it does.
And
it looks bad.
That's what it says.
And he's going through massive tattoo removal right now.
A real lawyer?
Kathy, no. My girl is a lawyer. Okay.
I mean, like, that's looks like I did it. I was like,
yes!
I'll give you a tattoo.
Mm, yeah. So, Kim had celebrated passing the baby bar in California in December 2021.
Adorable.
In a recent interview with Ellen DeGeneres, Kim also said that Davidson has multiple tattoos dedicated to her and that this one is her favorite.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm baby bar.
All right. I think we should get to the clips now. So let's do that. The girl from Plainville follows the true story of Michelle Carter's 2017 texting suicide case.
Yes.
All the way up to her conviction for involuntary manslaughter. In this clip, Elle Fanning talks about the show's take on the story. Here we go.
I think for us it was looking at the case in a different light and in more of an unbiased way. I think the media definitely kind of showed a very one-dimensional view of this case on both sides. I think they kind of portrayed Michelle as this black widow manipulator and then Conrad as the victim, and he very much was the victim in this. I mean, this case couldn't end in a more tragic way.
Damn right.
The Girl from Plainville premieres today on Hulu.
You remember that case, don't you? She bombarded this kid with emails suggesting he take his life.
Yeah.
And they were like sort of boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
And kept saying, well, if you loved me, you would do it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. All right, here's the next clip for you. The reimagination of the beloved sitcom Bel Air, which follows Will Smith's journey from West Philadelphia to California, wraps up its first season this week. And in this clip, Jabari Banks shares his take on the lead role.
He's so witty, and he always has a snapback, like, almost instantly for anything that Uncle Phil has to say or Carlton has to say. And just, you know, that dynamic is so fun and exciting and electric to watch. And, you know, our take is a little different on that.
Hogan's is up.
I knew it. Yeah. I knew you were going to play that. I knew that.
Has anyone watched it?
No.
I have not.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I can't give you an opinion on
yeah.
it. I have not checked it out yet. I mean, the trailer leading up to it looked pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's a completely different take. There is no Carlton dance.
Season one of Bel Air airs Thursday on Peacock. So the season one finale, I'm
yeah.
sorry, of Bel Air airs Thursday. Did I say that on Peacock? I don't know.
Say Peacock again.
Peacock. And that is the entertainment.
They don't lay eggs.
No, they don't. Pea hens do. We found out that yesterday, as well as commanders have three stripes in the Navy. All right, so we are going to take a break. Don't forget, Adam Goldberg is going to be joining us this morning. Our friends from Jersey Mike's will be here. That means we are giving some goodies away with their appearance, and we'll have some other things for you to win as we go along. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
WMMR. We're not just in your car anymore. Ask Alexa to open MMR, and we'll come streaming right into your house. And we promise, we're not listening to you doing stuff that often.
Got a nice little package this morning, and I would like to thank Alan Minch, who is the owner of Minch and Sons Custom Signs.
Oh, I like that.
They are in Egg Harbor Township, and you can follow them on Instagram and TikTok. They're at Minch and Sons. And I'm going to add this to the Charts and Crafts display that I have in our office.
It's growing.
And this is, Kathy, did you see this yet? It is Pennsylvania license plates.
That's so cool.
Snippets of Pennsylvania license plates that have been put together to spell the word Gadzooks.
That's awesome.
And so I'm going to add this to our Charts and Craft cabinet,
that's awesome,
which we're starting to get some things. So if you have a little handmade Preston and Steve Show gift that you want to send to us, as long as we have room.
I love it.
I will add it to this display that will slowly grow.
Is that Latin on the bottom? Vidi, vidi, vici?
Yeah, vizi, vis. No, uh-oh. I think it's supposed to be visitpa.com. But only little parts of it here. But this plate expired in 2009.
Okay.
So it's been around for a little while. At least the G has been. So that was very thoughtful. Thank you,
guys. I think that's great. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Oh, and they wrote all kinds of stuff on the back here. So Alan says, MMR rock, say hi to Pierre. Jack signed drew a little face. And Coop, it says Coop Dog Henry. So like the whole family signed this. And it says, Cuba has missiles. Where's the watch? I don't know what that means.
Oh, that's where Gadzooks came from.
Steve's
origin joke. Wow. That, in 2005 or 2006 or whenever that first happened here in MMR,
are correct.
Yeah, and so Steve was talking
get
about
out of here,
Maryland, give it
pound sand up your ass. I remember that. Pound it up your ass.
There was a when my parents moved to their house when I was a kid. My dad had this weird dream of decorating the entire garage with license plates.
Oh, I bet your mom loved that.
Loved every second of it. And I think he got about 8 up in the garage. And one point in like in the mid 80s, we're like, Dad, he can probably take him down at this point.
Enough of this.
Right? Hang on, yeah. Marissa.
Nick, I had the same exact idea. Well, I wanted to do my entire bathroom with fortune cookie fortunes.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Those things are so small.
They're tiny. Yeah.
That I saved them for like 3 years, and I end up with one piece of art that's about like 12 by 18.
Okay. You picked the smallest thing.
I'm going to go a little smaller. Cookies.
That's like wallpapering your house with stamps.
Right? Be great wallpaper though to have in the bathroom.
It would be neat. I mean,
Kathy, go away.
The collecting. Take a picture of it.
The collecting of anything.
Yes.
The only thing
just takes up space and collects dust.
The only thing you're into is stupid Batman collectibles, right?
Deliced.
Do you dust them?
I do.
Yeah. I mean, listen. No, I'm not. I don't. They take up space and they collect dust. But if you're dusting them, at least you're doing that.
But it's art.
Can't have a dusty Batman.
It's art.
Yeah, you hate art, don't you, Kathy? You're collecting it.
I mean, no, that's like, no, listen, fortune cookie notes are not art, but no, a nice piece of art, no, I don't hate that.
What about like live, laugh, often, or whatever? Okay.
What about precious moments figures?
Does it have to be the right quote?
No, hell no.
Snow babies?
Does it have to be the right quote on a piece of wood?
You know what? I'm not a quote hang frame a quote and hang it in the house person.
Okay. We learn more about Kathy.
Listen,
every day.
She's spending too much time with the dream catchers.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, thank you for the license plate. That's really nice, and we'll hang that up. I wanted to chat quickly about this accident that happened on Interstate 81 yesterday. It was a pileup, and I'm reading. This, I think, Kathy, they said they estimated between 40 and 60 vehicles. Including multiple tractor trailers. Took place, and it was because of this quick whiteout that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, the tractor trailers, I mean, that was like, it was one after the other.
It looked like the truck convoy. It looked like that sort of thing. And again, the velocity is what I think really exacerbated this issue, because it became so hard to see so quickly. And Nick, you're pointing out like the cars traveling there's one scene there. They're swinging because it looks like a movie.
It does.
In the video where a car just barrel asses.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy clearly came out of the snow, out of the whiteout, couldn't see where he was, full speed and careens into everything.
I watched the video like 4 or 5 times in a row, because like every time you watch it, you notice new things. But like the one that got me was the guy got out of his car, He's just kind of walking around the car, taking a couple pieces of broken metal off of it, sort of tossing it to the side. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, another car comes barreling into his at 40 or 50 miles an hour.
I was yelling at the screen when I saw him get out and just kind of hang out.
The car, like, spun away from where he was and nearly clipped him. I mean, it really could have killed him. And I know three people died in this. So, I mean, at least three people. I guess they might even be more at this point.
It's amazing that it wasn't more off the bat. I mean, it's terrible. Three lives are lost. But, I mean, look at we're looking at a picture of it. I can't believe it was only three.
I've heard stories of things like this. And I've also heard where, like, a bridge has given out.
Yes.
And somebody will know, and they'll be standing on the side of the road going, stop!
Right.
Like, waving their hands. And you're in your car. You have no idea this is happening. And in that video, you can hear people going, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, and it does no good. You're doing what you can.
Honestly, think about it. If you're cruising along or you're going over a bridge or you're on your way somewhere and you see someone at the side of the road flailing like crazy,
you know, it doesn't necessarily register.
Right,
All right, so here's audio from the crash. Here we go. You can hear these vehicles hit. Yeah, that's them just slamming into each other. Another one coming up here.
Jeez.
Another one. And another.
Go, 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 go!
Yeah, you can hear them obviously yelling to try and stop them. It's wild how it can obscure. Like, even the other night, I was in my own neighborhood, and somebody in the middle of the road was walking clear night.
Yes, yeah.
And I was right up on him before I realized that there was somebody in the road doing 25 miles an hour.
Right.
And imagine being in either fog or whiteout condition, and you're zipping along, and the next thing you know, boom, it's a stopped vehicle right
on that stretch. And the thing is, it's a straightaway.
Yeah.
I was driving to South Philly last night and didn't deal with anything like these guys were having to deal with on I-81 yesterday. But even when the squalls came through yesterday afternoon, early evening, there were moments where you just like, you automatically have to slow down because of how much vision you lose right away. And the way that these storms were rolling in, it was, and Preston, you pointed this earlier, like it was sunny in one direction and then complete whiteout in another direction. It was so bizarre.
And it's wild what the fog and obscuring your vision can do, because there are times when you can be completely disoriented.
Yes.
And have no idea. And I've been that way, like on an aircraft before, you know, if you're in the clouds and all of a sudden they come down out of the cloud line and you look around, you're like, oh, I thought we were going
I'm in India.
And that same thing can happen in fog or whiteout in those blizzard conditions.
So years ago, I was traveling. I did a comedy show on the Canadian border, traveled up from Long Island to Pottstown, right on the border of Canada. Played a school, and then I was driving back through the Adirondacks, and a blizzard hit.
Oh,
so, I mean, it was, Preston, it was white out. I mean, so I could see a little bit off the lights of my headlights. And I'm in the mountains. There's nothing I can do. I've got to keep moving forward, much like my Poconos experience coming back from the Carbore Classic. So there was clearly a truck had been traveling ahead of me.
Yeah.
And it left a crease in the snow, one of its tires.
Oh, wow.
And I was following that crease all the time, going slowly, Casey. Right. But not too slow where I'd get jammed up and get stuck in the mountains where someone else could rear-end me and knock me off the edge of the cliff. So I followed that. I must have followed that crease in the snow for about 20 miles.
Oh, my God. See, we drove in the blizzard of 96, and looking back on it, like, why were we even out? My buddy, we were on spring break, and my buddy lived in Blackwood, New Jersey from college.
Yeah.
We all went to a party at his house, and then we were driving basically all over God's green earth. And I'm like, why were we out that night?
Yeah.
It's not like the blizzard of 96 just crept up on us.
But you know,
it was bad driving out, you know, in the
I completely hear you. In this case, they're driving. You would leave yesterday, you know, and okay, everything's fine. Like, I mean, I was presented the option driving back from the Poconos after the Carbore Classic.
We all were. And we actually all chose to. Right.
Except for me.
Yeah, no. I started to drive. Yeah.
So did I.
Yeah. So did I.
We called me and said, don't check out of our rooms.
Yeah.
We have to go back.
That's why we went back to the hotel, and then we found out that Steve made it all the way back.
1 year later.
Somebody texts in, says, there's pileups on 81 pretty often from the snow and squalls up here. None as bad as the one yesterday, though.
So yeah, apparently, just a few weeks ago, there was one.
Yeah. Right? Oh, okay.
And there's a lot of trucks on 81. So 81 goes all the way down, like, the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia, and it's a trucking route. So there are always a ton of trucks on there.
Somebody said my friend's brother-in-law was in the tractor trailer that got hit by the tanker truck.
Jeez.
So hopefully he's okay.
Because there was an it looked like there was an explosion.
Yeah.
There was something.
Here's another text. It says, studies have shown that people actually speed up in fog. Because they lose place markers like trees or telephone poles to judge their speed.
Not me.
So you kind of might naturally not even realize that you're speeding up a little bit because you just don't know.
Oh, I see I see that point. You have nothing, no relative.
Reference.
Yeah. No, I guess maybe that would make sense.
Yeah. Somebody said yesterday afternoon, squall from 95 Highway southbound Citizens Bank Park disappeared in the squall as it inched towards the highway. And it says that the National Weather Service started issuing squall warnings to prevent these accidents, but it's tough to get the message to people on the road. I got one.
Yeah, I got one too.
It was right as I was going through the one on the Northeast Extension, and I saw it, and I'm like, this ain't that bad. You know? I mean, I'm looking around, like, I can see just fine. Of course, I didn't know what was going on in Scoville County, you know, that it could get that bad.
I was at the Eagles concert last night, and Don Henley referenced the squall, and he's like, hey.
Really?
Yeah, I've never seen a squall in Philadelphia before. That was a new one for me.
The song is called The Boys of Squalor.
After the boys of squalor have gone. I'm going to go to Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good. What's up, bud?
Yeah, I actually live in the area where this happened. I mean, this is not it's a common occurrence up here during the winter and stuff between the whiteouts and the fog and everything like that. Wow. And your one texter was right. There's pileups on that stretch of 81 all the time.
Hey, Brian, so assessing yesterday's issue, have you seen many like this?
No, not to this magnitude.
Yeah.
Some of them are like 5-10 car pileups, stuff like that. Maybe a little more, but not to this magnitude. This one, I mean, the whiteout, I work in a coal hole not too far from where that happened, maybe about 6 miles. And you could not see the Euclids and everything, the haul trucks running around in the coal. You just—I mean—they're 20 feet away from me.
Wow! All right, so if you're used to it, when this pops up and you're on the road, how do you usually, you know, drive during that? Do you slow way down, put your flashers on, or do anything?
Slow way down, put the flashers on, and if I'm out on that particular stretch of 81. I know for a fact it's very busy because there's a lot of distribution centers up in that area.
Yeah.
I get off that road as quick as I can.
Okay.
And I'll just sit on the back roads and everything. I won't sit on 81 at all.
Wow. Okay. So that's a smart method there. You immediately, when you see it that bad, and this is what other people have been echoing this, get off that stretch of road.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. That place, like I said, it happens several times a year.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it, man.
No problem.
That's scary.
Yeah, I would get. So there are a couple issues with yesterday's accident. They had this one young lady who was talking, and she's like, she was part of the pile up, and then quickly she realized as cars were colliding and careening like bumper car style all over the place, she had to run up on the hill to get up high so that she wouldn't be, you know, in the line of all of this carnage.
Yeah,
and a lot of people finally go, oh okay. Mm-hmm.
These chain reaction crashes, that's kind of Rochelle has a fear of that. And so that's why when we pull up to a stoplight, she leaves like a full length between her and the car in front of her. And I'm always like, scoot up a little bit more.
Get on that bumper.
She's like, no, if I get hit from behind, I'm not going to slam into that car. And I'm like, okay.
By the way, what is the law? I've never been that clear on the law. Let's say you're in a 5-car pileup and that's
yeah, like what happens caused, now? Right.
What are the legal obligations?
Who's at fault? I've always heard if the front end of a vehicle hits another vehicle, it's the person with the front end of the vehicle damage that is quote unquote at fault. Now listen,
regardless if you're
there's probably circumstances.
Right.
But I've always heard that. And I don't know what the truth is.
Yeah, like
that
this has gotta be
right.
There's something
gotta
there.
Be some kind of leeway there.
You would hope.
Yeah. Our friend Meredith said that there was a snow squall back in 2018. She said there was a pileup about 8 cars right near her house. And so she housed everybody. She brought everybody in. The police came. They were talking to the people in her house.
She would do that.
Right.
Meredith would do that in a heartbeat.
She's right on the curve.
She'd be baking and she'd be arts and crafts.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Handing out drinks and everything.
Right. Yeah. Everyone comfortable? I'm knitting blankets for everyone.
Now, her house is right on the curve, so it's kind of at a precarious spot of that particular road. My wife was in a, she was a salesperson, had a company car, and her rule was, pressed to do what your wife does, which is leave a full car length between you, because it doesn't matter what the actual law is. Their rule was, if you get hit from behind and you hit the car in front of you, then that is your fault.
I think a safer thing to do is when you pull up to a light, move your car laterally. So because it's harder for it to, you'd have to roll over to hit the car in front of you.
Right, right. And besides, it'd be side damage that you would get, and that you're in the clear at that
Just
point.
Just being cautious.
sorry, I cleared my throat, Bill. I'm going to go to Joe.
Are you all right?
Do you have enough water?
I'm okay.
Somebody get him water?
Joe, you're on the air.
I'd like
morning.
To hear that.
Hey, Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, buddy. What's up?
Not much. So I was stationed out in Hawaii in the 90s, and there's a road that goes from the Honolulu side over to the west side of the island, the east side of the island.
Right. Yes.
Ali Highway. So when you go up into a mountain, you go through a tunnel, and you come out on the other side of the island, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But that side of the island gets rain all the time. And the highway speed limit is 50 miles an hour. So when I was first out there, I was like, 50 miles an hour, that's like, that doesn't. Well, you get through the tunnel, and it rains there often. I went through there one time. It was like a giant wall, like something out of Game of Thrones.
Wow. So like one of those... North. One of those, what do they call those? Not a supercell, but a, I forgot what they're called. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so as soon as you get
microcell,
out of the tunnel,
microcell.
It's like you got like 50 feet and you see this wall of water and the visibility drops to nothing. And the problem is that you got a lot of tourists out there, so they think it's fast. It's okay to go fast. Mm. You go through the tunnel, they're doing 65, hit a wall of water and... accidents.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We made that mistake. We rented a Jeep. We took the top down. We're like, we're in Hawaii, man.
Yeah.
It's great.
What could go wrong?
We took the top down, Steve and I in Maryland.
Oh yes.
And we drove to the other side. I think we're headed to the North Shore. Yeah. We headed up to Waimea.
We're
going to
see all the waves.
And we come out of the tunnel and it's raining and we don't know how to put the top back up on the Jeep.
Joe, we witnessed this firsthand. And to complete the story, Joe, we were going to see the legendary
Waimea.
Super Surf of Waimea.
Yeah.
We got there, it was glass.
Yeah, it was in the summer. So we didn't realize the waves were on the other side of the island at that time of the year. That's funny. All right, thanks, Joe. Appreciate
he's
it.
Right, though.
Thank you.
Yeah. Like, do you remember we saw also they had a number of those runoff tracks for trucks that get into trouble?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you see that, be cautious.
Yeah, absolutely. I will go to Mike, who's been stuck on 81 before. Hi, Mike. Good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you, Mike. What's up, bud?
Hey, I was stuck in on 81. I was on my way from Philadelphia up to State College on my way back to Penn State on a mega bus.
Yep.
And we were driving up, and a huge storm started rolling through, and next thing you know, the bus starts slowing down. Man, there was a huge, huge pileup, and we ended up getting stuck on 81 for just about 8 hours.
Oh my God!
On a mega bus.
Yeah, I remember when this all happened.
Yeah, how long ago was this, Mike?
Excuse me?
How long ago was this?
Oh, probably about 10 years ago. Or
oh, that long ago? Okay, all right.
Yeah,
interesting.
And man, it was horrible. But I'd probably say I was in the best situation and the worst situation. We were on a mega bus. It was a bunch of college kids. We had a bunch of provisions with us, you know, bringing back some drinks up back from
school.
And we were having have a little party on the bus.
But 8 hours.
8 hours,
that's a long-ass time. Yeah.
There have been longer stories. Good.
Dead.
No, I was just saying there's been longer where people, you know, we talked about, you know, the... one had gone almost 2 days, right, where people are out there.
Yeah, I think, thanks for your call, by the way, Mike. I want to say we took a call from somebody and all they had was Wreck-It Ralph as the movie. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
And they watched it over and over again.
I think I got to be stuck with a movie.
I remember that story, and I think it was from one of those, it was from out there.
One in particular was outlandishly long, and I forget.
Well, there was a recent one, Steve. There was 95,
is that it?
The bread truck, remember?
Yeah.
You started handing out bread.
Exactly, yeah. And they were just the people. This was like outside of D.C. in northern Virginia.
People were looking for bologna trucks.
Yeah.
Right. Mustard trucks.
Let me go to, hang on, Mike, a claims adjuster.
All right.
Can talk about whose fault it is get one of these chain reactions.
Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Mike. What's up, bud?
Hey, with an accident like that, what happens is each collision is treated as a separate incident. So if somebody rear-ends somebody, and then 30 seconds later somebody comes along and rear-ends that person, it's two different incidents.
Right.
Unless that party gets pushed into, then you get into percentages, like half and half and all that.
So Mike, how is something as complicated as this, you're just sitting there. A car rear-ends you or a truck and pushes you a certain length and you hit the next car in front of you, you're at fault for that?
Yeah, well, you're at fault for 100% of the rear of the car that you hit, 50% of the front of the car that you hit, and 50% of the rear of the car that was in front of them.
The car that was in front of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's interesting, though.
So to some extent, Mike, rule that I'd heard, that quote-unquote rule, I'm doing air quotes, that if you have front-end damage and you hit another, if you had hit another vehicle, most likely it's going to be you're at fault for that.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. And then from state to state, it differs because then you have what they call 50% comparative states, which are just what I explained.
Right.
Then it would be 49%, which you would be denied if you weren't at least, 51% at fault. So,
well, it's so in that long chain of a collision, you're stationary. Your car is set into motion by a collision from behind. But still, so the way it's hashed out is, doesn't matter. Your vehicle was the vehicle in motion that caused the damage to the vehicle in front of you, and now you are liable for it.
No, the person that hit you, that forced you, is now liable for that.
Okay, so because I understand. Okay,
then how the hell do you do a math on an accident this big?
Like this big? How would you possibly do that?
It's basically they would be considered all different incidences. It didn't happen at once.
Okay,
so the first collision is one incident. The second collision is a second incident. So, I would never want to handle something like this.
Right. Uh-huh. Right. And plus you've got to, there's confusion. There's chaos going on. And how are you supposed to get the proper information from all these people and then the police? And,
Then you run into a situation, does somebody have enough liability coverage to cover everything that's all
four. Cats are barking, dogs are meowing. It's crazy.
It's insane. All right. Mike.
I wouldn't want. We saw an elevated shot of yesterday's carnage. How do you possibly decipher? Yeah. I mean, they will. They'll try.
Yeah, they'll try.
How do you decipher how that's set in motion?
Wow, and three people died in this accident.
Yes.
That's just. And I was reading they had to, with the fires that were coming up, they had to bring in these all these water trucks because there were no fire hydrants out there.
Right.
Where they were out in the middle of nowhere, and they had a hard time containing all that and getting the emergency vehicles to be where the emergencies were was a logistical nightmare.
They're trying to bring rural areas into the city to make it easier.
I think they should try and do that and, get them into a little bit closer.
Closer, yeah. Harleysville will probably be in Ballard-Kinwood soon, Preston. Yeah.
Anyway, it was pretty nasty looking. The video is scary. So if you do happen to come across one of these squalls, and like I was on the road yesterday and it popped up and I'm like, whatever. It never got, whiteout conditions, but I'm going to think twice about that now.
Yes.
It can change like that.
You may want to think about getting off the road if you can.
Get out as soon as you possibly can. Wow. Okay. Well, thanks for your calls. We appreciate it. Listen, I want to take a break, and I want to give some away while we're doing that. Jersey Mike's is here, and I would like to thank Eric from the Moorestown store for bringing by some lunch boxes with a variety of subs and chips and fresh baked cookies and all that good stuff. We have a chance for you to win a $25 gift card from Jersey Mike's, and we'll take caller number 9 at 215-263-WMMR. They are celebrating the 12th annual month of giving. And if you buy a sub tomorrow, so keep this in mind. If you use this gift card, go buy tomorrow. Jersey Mike's, buy some other stuff as well, because 100% of the sales will go to the Special Olympic USA Games.
That's excellent.
It's wonderful. So we'll take that ninth caller, set you up, come back with the bizarre file, and we will return shortly. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok, and probably other places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I would like to mention real quick, a friend of ours has an event coming up, and he is a fantastic singer. His name is Kyle McCarty.
He's awesome.
Good friend of ours. He, for reference, he does the Kathy's Activities jingles.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does he sing those, he writes those.
Right.
And does everything. He's awesome. But listen, he is a great soul R&B singer. He is fantastic. And he has got a gig on Thursday night, wanted me to mention, and emails like, could you please possibly, if you have a little bit, Kyle will do anything for you,
yeah,
man. He's the best. So it's the All Sold Out Band, Sold, S-O-U-L-E-D, Sold Out Band. And they're going to play Vera Bar and Grill Thursday night in Cherry Hill. And he said they're playing Motown, funk, soul, seven-piece band with a horn section.
Hasn't he worked with, like, the Temptations?
Yes, he
like
has.
Yeah,
they recorded on his album.
Yeah, he's legit.
And he also said they're playing TSOP. Does anybody know what that stands
for? To Sop.
To Sop. Oh, I'm such an idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's in the music. Motown, TSOP, funk, and soul. I don't know what TSOP.
The Sound of Philadelphia.
To Sop.
There you go. To Sop. Gemlin Huff. That type of stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, cool. So the gig is Thursday night. You want to see some really great live music and a full horn band, seven-piece band with horns, and Kyle can sing, man. So go check him out at Vera Bar and Grill in Cherry Hill on Thursday night. And then real quick, before we do the B-File, a shout-out. I got this email. It says, hey, Gadzooks, could you please give the biggest and most awesome shout-out to the Westchester Henderson Girls Varsity Ice Hockey Team? This is only the second year that they've had a full girls varsity team, and this year they won both the high school championship and the Flyers Cup. So she says, way to go, Warriors. You rock. Thanks so much. That is from Renee McGusty. I like McGusty
better. McGusty's better.
All right, Renee.
I like you, kid. You're McGusty.
McGusty. So a shout out for the gals. And there you go.
Wanted I used to be a cheerleading coach there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, when I was in college, I coached their cheerleading team.
Maybe you were the first McGusty.
Maybe I was.
Yeah, possibly. All right, we got to do the B-File. Here we go.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by AD Moyer Lumber, trusted expert since 1939. AD Moyer Lumber is your professional source for decks, windows, doors, kitchens, millwork, and more. You can visit them on the web at admoyer.com. So in England, a historic market town is under siege by a pair of hooligan chihuahuas who have been ganging up on other people and pets.
Miserable bastards.
The two dogs are so unpleasant, a former police German shepherd was attacked by the dogs and is scared of them.
Man.
Another person walking his two 65-pound dogs were charged by the two dogs that ran straight up at them. A local counselor, Ruth Hopkins, said that she has had several complaints about the dogs. She said they're little dogs. The man who called up has an ex-police dog. He's a German shepherd, so a big dog. And there were big dogs running.
Yeah,
you know?
Big dogs out.
There were two unpleasant chihuahuas who attacked the German shepherd, so the size of the dog is no reflection on their aggressiveness.
Big dogs running. Big dogs out.
Apparently, it's not the first time that they've behaved in an aggressive fashion. They said they were leashed, and the owner thought that they were only little, that they were friendly, but you have to be really careful. Man, chihuahuas do not know that they are as little as they are.
No.
And they will.
They'll rip your throat out.
They can. They can get pretty aggressive.
If you lay down and fall asleep.
Yeah. A Montana man who went missing while hiking earlier this week was killed in a suspected encounter with a grizzly bear.
I'm reading this story.
North of Yellowstone National Park. The victim is identified as Craig Clotre. No details were provided on where he was found or why the grizzly bear was believed responsible for his death. Search teams on the ground and in helicopters have been looking for him while he went hiking on Wednesday morning with a friend, possibly to hunt for antlers.
Reportedly overdue
that day.
Supposedly the story was pressed because I'm like, why did this guy go out alone doing this? He got out with someone else and then they split. Like, for at some point, the one guy went off and I'm going to look down here for these antlers. And he went the other way, and that's what they believe is attacked by the bear.
Yeah, they said they were split up at some point later in the morning, and when the other man returned to the vehicle and his friend wasn't there, he called us and we began searching. Police said they were Friday working to return his body to his family in the mountains in the area where he died, rise steeply above the Yellowstone River. There are dense forests at higher elevations that are home to bears and other wildlife, and he would frequent these mountains. And, apparently.
So they always have you, like, blowing whistles and stuff like that as you march along and just to keep, you know, it's sad that it happened, man.
Yep. Police and health officials in Virginia raced against time to help save the life of a man in Richmond who was bitten by his own pet viper, which the type was listed as one of the deadliest snakes in the world. Virginia State Police got a call from the Virginia Commonwealth University Police Department requesting an expedited delivery of anti-venom treatment from the Virginia Aquarium and Marine Science Center.
What you going to use it for?
The snake, an African pit viper, also known as a Gaboon viper, is listed as one of the top 10 deadliest snakes in the world.
Because that's the sound you make when you get bit.
Gaboon.
Gaboon!
VSU hospital had already given the man anti-venom treatment from the Smithsonian National Zoo in D.C. However, officials said they still needed to give him another dose in order to save his life. A police sergeant was able to get the anti-venom from an employee of the Virginia Aquarium and Marine Science Center, rush it to Virginia Beach, or from Virginia Beach to Richmond. No word on the man's condition as of yet. A Nashville, Tennessee man has been arrested after using an Apple Watch as a tracking device. Lawrence Welch, a 29-year-old resident of Nashville, was arrested for tracking the location of his girlfriend by attaching an Apple Watch to the wheel of her car and using a tracking app. Welch was subsequently charged with attaching an electronic trafficking device to a vehicle. He had turned up at a family safety center while an order of protection was being sought for the unnamed girlfriend. The victim claimed that death threats were made by Welch against her multiple times before the police arrived at the scene. The victim also mentioned that she and Welch had used Life 360 to track each other's movement in the past, but she turned it off whenever she was going to any of the family safety centers. Security officials, so this is like a shelter.
Yes.
You know, of sorts. Security office officials at the center found Welch crouching by the victim's car, which aroused suspicion. Officers later discovered his Apple Watch on the wheel, which Welch confirmed was his. The incident is the latest in several similar domestic assault issues since July 2021. He already had two assaults to grapple with already. The incident will further expand the need for greater scrutiny of the Apple Watch as an unusual stalking device.
Well, you know that. So, like, activating those Apple tags, I picked those up,
yeah.
You know. It takes a second to do it, and they are unbelievably accurate.
All right. All right, and then one last story. This is in Wisconsin. An Irish pub received a wild visit. Staff and customers at Dublin's Irish Pub in Oshkosh saw a deer come crashing through the front window on Monday afternoon. The operations manager, Mark Rutkowski, wasn't there and thought the bartenders were trying to pull a fast one on him. That is until he reviewed the security footage. Rutkowski said it got in, ran a lap around the restaurant, and then ran out the other door.
Which kind of beer do you have here?
And when I looked at the security footage, at least 6 to 7 deer all just hopped over the patio wall that we had there and attempted to run through the building.
Wow.
A whole herd of them came through. He said the video is crazy because they just appear and disappear within seconds.
Didn't order anything?
We're looking at the video now. Yeah, they come jumping all over the place.
Can we get a pint, please?
Running into walls and stuff? Man, they're completely disoriented.
Rutkowski says that he hunts, but he has never seen deer behave in that manner in the wild.
Look, he's going out to hunt when they come to his bar.
Or even when you're driving around during the fall. He said it's weird. It's like frogs coming out of the sky, you know, when people say it's raining fish or something. All of a sudden, they appear and they disappear as fast as they showed up.
It's the point at which the reporter pulls the microphone back.
We're done. All right, and there you go. That is all I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right, we have some guests who are here today, and there's a charity event and a campaign that we are going to make you aware of. We first want to welcome from the Headstrong Foundation, the president. She's been here before. Cheryl Cullalore is here.
Thank you.
Hi, Cheryl. Nice to see you again.
It's very, very nice to see you and to be back.
And along with you, and bear with me on pronouncing the last name, we would like to welcome Phil and his daughter, Sydney. Their last name is Cirincione.
That's very good.
Yeah! Yeah! Nailed it. Okay. All right.
Say it the Italian way. It's Cirincione.
Well, that's why I was going to say
it. But you got to like throw three fingers together and have some garlic on your breath.
I was going to try it, but Casey said not to. So, all right. So, first off, Cheryl, for those who may not have heard you before or may not be familiar with the Headstrong Foundation, can you please enlighten them?
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here. And I just wanted to say thank you for the longtime support that you, MMR, and the team here, Preston and Steve, has shown to the Headstrong Foundation. So we actually are celebrating a milestone this year, 15 years of being Headstrong.
That's amazing.
And thank you. I'm taken back, you know, 16 years ago around our kitchen table when our founder, my son, was just adamant about being involved in the cancer community, the community that he found himself part of, and said, you know what, I want to do something. I want to use my platform and really create an organization that provides direct service to patients and families. And boy, little did we know the impact of that conversation.
Staggering. Amazing.
We're going on $24 million raised, touching over 20,180 lives. And it's just been an absolute privilege. You know, the unfortunate part is the demand for our services are at an all-time high. I've never witnessed anything like this and never heard some of the stories that, you know, that we're hearing. You know, we're pleased to have Phil and Sydney with us, and the disease and has brought us together. And, you know, we're excited about the campaign, Philly Takes on Cancer. It's an opportunity for corporations to really just rally their troops. Sometimes they're just coming back in for the first time after years of being apart.
Yeah.
And it's really a way to just come together in support of our local friends and families that are battling.
Because everyone knows somebody, or they themselves have it.
Everyone is touched.
Yeah. So I had mentioned there's a there's an event coming up. There's a campaign as well. Let's talk about the event, the 5K, because Sydney is a direct recipient for this, correct?
She is.
All right. And before we do that, Sydney, what is your story? Where are you from? How old are you?
I'm 17. Philadelphia. I'll be 18 in April. And and I have Hodgkin's lymphoma. I was diagnosed in November. And I have about 3 chemos left, and then hopefully I'll be in remission.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah.
You're in high school still? You're a senior?
Yes.
Where do you go to school?
Bayard Rustin.
Okay. And this event is coming up as the 5K, correct?
Yes. Actually, it's through a family that we had supported that is having an event in memory of their child. And it just so happens to be in the neighborhood and the community that Sydney lives. So Sydney and will be a benefactor of that. And it is the Charlotte Grace 5K. And details can be found on our website at headstrong.org.
Okay. And so you guys are going to be there, Phil? You're going to be
at the
event?
Yeah.
Are you walking or running?
I'm going to be...
You look like a walker to me.
I'll be sitting at the start-finish line rubbing her back.
There you go. Then you're a runner.
I would run if Burger King was on the other side of my head.
Nice. And so when did Sydney find out about her diagnosis?
So it was a whirlwind, Press. It was November, the beginning of November. We heard the C word the first time and ended up with a biopsy.
Past November?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. She had had longstanding health issues with skin, and we thought they were food allergies or something. We didn't really know. We were just trying to seek answers. And, man, we went from the beginning of November to Black Friday, her being staged.
Wow.
Mm. Boom, just like that. And Cheryl and I were talking outside, and it's a whirlwind. You really don't have the opportunity to process emotionally what's happening to you, while at the same time you're like fighting for life.
Well, the thing that is interesting with all of this, and it's something that I try to get the word out about, is that it happens to you, it rocks your world, and then if you can at that moment realize there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who've just gotten the same notification. You're not alone. There's a whole bunch of people out there to support you. There's a whole bunch of people out there who survived it and who are thriving. It's hard to put that into context out of the gate, but if that's a little mantra you can repeat to yourself, it'll help you through. Am I right with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so the event, the 5K, is coming up on Saturday, April 2nd at East Goshen Township Park in Westchester. And you can go to headstrong.org to get the info, /run if you want to put that in there. But I'm sure you can find it just by going on the website, right?
Yes.
And on top of that event, there's a campaign that's a month-long campaign that's coming up, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. It begins early April, and, you know, it's really a corporate team approach. And, you know, it gives us the ability to... help our local families, just like Phil's, just like mine, just like the thousands of others that are fighting cancer that have been blindsided by this news. It gives us the ability to have an impact in their lives and make things a little more manageable, a little more normal, helping with the emotional toll that takes place, the financial impact. I know Phil's got lots of financial impact stories, but, yeah. You know, simply PhillyTakesOnCancer.com. We're not asking companies for a donation. Rather, we're asking companies to rally, get a team, register a team, and then use their circles to drive donations in support of the Headstrong Foundation's mission.
But you shouldn't be deterred if you'd like to make it.
Oh, we're not going to. No, we're right. No. Absolutely. Right, it's right. Welcomed. But, you know, we understand, you know, the economic impact of COVID.
Yeah.
And, you know, particularly in the cancer community, people have lost their jobs. They've lost their insurance, you know, and until you're in this journey, you do not have an understanding of the implications, the financial implications. Go ahead, Phil.
It's estimated the nurses at Nemours, shout out to DuPont in Wilmington, have told me that it's estimated that cancer families lose 40% of their income.
Wow.
And it makes sense because you figure if there's two parents, one of them has to stop working.
Right. Yeah.
And it's usually the one who makes less money. And I do have a lot of stories, you know, like calling insurance companies and they're like, your copay is $2,700.60. And I was like, are you sure it isn't $2,700.40?
Right.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
You just laugh at the ridiculous things that they tell you.
Right.
And it's not like you have an option. It's not like your kid needs braces. You know, you can be a good right. parent and let their kids get straightened.
No, you throw it all
just
in.
Have
you
to
need
do
it.
Whatever yeah. they say.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, if you are a parent like Phil, a single dad, you take time off from work to care for your child, yeah. you're not eligible for short-term disability. So there is zero income coming in. I live that journey. Phil's living that journey. So to be able to, you know, just take those funds and have a direct impact
right.
has been the greatest privilege of my life. And you know what? We're counting on our Philadelphia companies to show some headstrong love and really rally the troops. And
they have in the past.
They have in the past, certainly.
And, yeah, and so they will again. So all this stuff is tremendous. Again, kudos to you, you know, and to the legacy of your son.
Thank you.
I mean, if you could possibly imagine a scenario, this is better than that scenario because it's going on and saving and changing lives. It's amazing.
It keeps on going, and I'm just, you know, so privileged, and I thank my team, my family, the supporters that, you know, have really allowed us to continue Nick's legacy. Selfishly, I get to keep Nick very close.
Yeah.
I get to talk about him each day. He was an incredible human being, and I was privileged to be his mother.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's put the rallying call out to the businesses of the greater area and get involved just try to stimulate people to get involved. Like you said, Cheryl, you don't necessarily have to make this big cash monetary donation, but get the staff involved to maybe organize and get their groups.
Yep.
Throat chip in here and there, and it's going to add up.
Yeah,
it's going to help out in the long run.
PhillyTakesOnCancer.com. There's also some tremendous incentives and prizes. So we have some really cool leadership seminars for our first, second, and third place finishers, and we're really looking forward to painting the town lime. So.
Yep, excellent. Okay, so PhillyTakesOnCancer.com or headstrong.org, and we'll have all this stuff up on our website on PresidentSteve.com to make it easy for you. Sydney, good luck with your upcoming treatments.
Yep.
Kick some ass. Good luck with the rest of school and all that stuff.
Thank you.
And we'll check in with you down the road, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, thank you, guys. Phil as well. Thank you for being here this morning. Headstrong Foundation. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
MM Arts Madness. A rock band battle of the brackets. each weekday. It's a field of 64, unlike any other. Matchups are hand-picked bands from team captains Pierre and Pancake, Preston and Steve, Jackson and Sarah, and Jackie and Brent. Four teams, four regions, four decades of rock. And your votes decide who makes it to the Fantastic Four and who wins it all. Get details and vote at WMMR.com or on the WMMR app. MM Arch Madness. Sponsored by Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram City. Shop Ram Truck Month at South Jersey's truck headquarters and 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
First matchup at MMR, or MM Arch Madness, is Linkin Park and Tool. So that's the one that gets us going at noon today. And you go to WMMR.com or PrestonSteve.com. You can get all the matchups. So last night, a concert, first concert for a few people that haven't been in a while. The Eagles were in town performing. Nick went to see them last night. You've never seen them before.
I've never seen the Eagles before.
Chuck went as well. He had never seen them before. And they have rave reviews about the music, right?
Unbelievably great. I mean, listen, they opened with Hotel California. They did the whole record, but that's the first song on that record. So the first song out of the gate is Hotel California. And there was a gentleman came out on stage. They had a stage set up with, you know, what the iconic album is like. That's sort of in the background. And
right.
There was a record player at the end of the stage. This guy walks across the stage, takes out the vinyl, puts it on the record player, brings the needle down, starts, and then you hear this
the
guitar.
Opening.
Like, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's a great presentation.
It was really cool. So they did the whole first side of the record, and then they did the second side of the record, and had a lady come out. She flipped the record over, put it back down on the record player, and then started up with the second side of it. So it was just such great music, and one song after another that you knew and that you loved.
Is Pretty Maids All in a Row on that album? Yes. So Joe sings that song.
Yeah. So
I love that song.
It's a great song.
That's so great that they got to that.
Hotel California, New Kid in Town, Life in the Fast Lane, Waste of Time Reprise, Victim of Love, Pretty Maids All in a Row, Try and Love Again, and then The Last Resort. And that's that's the whole first part of the show. And then they go into an intermission after that. The sound in the building was really good. I hadn't been to a concert in the Wells Fargo Center in quite some time. So that was cool to see as well.
How about those harmonies, right?
It's just unbelievable. that was the first set. Then they take this intermission break and just speak into the harmonies. Then they come back out and the second set starts with Seven Bridges
Rolling. I knew it.
And all five of them come out. The lights are down, and then the spotlights shine on the guys, and they kick into that. And it's just if you don't get goosebumps watching that, then you're just missing out as a music fan.
There's a great scene in the documentary where they're backstage, and that's sort of their warm up exercise.
Yep. Yes. Yep.
I saw them on the Hell Freezes Over tour. That's when they all got back together finally after saying they would never do it unless hell froze over. And to this day, that's number two on my list of best concert ever. Number one was U2 Joshua Tree, because it was just an epiphany for me with that band. But that, I remember watching the Eagles and them hitting the harmonies of those iconic songs. And I'm going, I can't believe this is happening live. These guys are actually on stage performing this, and it sounds this way. It sounds so rich, so lush, so perfect, tonally perfect, that I was blown away.
There were moments last night where I'm like, I can't believe I'm in the same building, same room as Joe Walsh and Don Henley. Like, to me, that was, and Timothy B. Schmidt, and then Vince Gill kind of took over for the Glenn Frey role, and he's great. I mean, I don't know much about Vince Gill, but he was
great guitarist,
a really great guitarist. But Steve, beautiful voice, and it took a lot of the Glenn Frey parts and just nailed it.
Oh. Wow! So everything was perfect.
Almost.
Almost. Really? Something wasn't perfect.
Listen, we've sort of talked about different versions of this in the past, but the obnoxious concert goer.
Right.
And there was a woman who sat directly behind myself and my girlfriend. Brent Porsche was actually there. Brent was sitting to my right. And Brent brought his mom, which I thought was really sweet. So the four of us are sitting together, and then
was the annoying woman Brent's mom?
No. No. Brent's mom could not have been sweeter. However, this annoying woman was bothering Brent's mom and everybody else in the section. So she sits down, and listen, whatever show you go to, just read the room. If you're out in an outdoor show and everybody's going nuts and having a great time and you're sitting on the lawn and whatever and you want to hoot and holler, go for it. if you're at a show where it's like the Eagles and most of the people in the Wells Fargo Center are sitting down and relaxing and enjoying the music.
Eagles is a sit-down show.
It is. Yeah. And there were moments, especially when Joe Walsh would go into solos, where he'd get up and cheer and you know, there were standing O moments. There were not talk loudly during the quiet parts moments at all throughout the concert. So this lady sits down and listen, she was fired up to be there. And when you get into the show and somebody's that fired up, you're like, okay, you know,
got it.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
It'll probably we'll give you a little time.
Yeah. And then Steve, our patience starts to run thin after a while. And I know you've lamented about this a million times, but I was thinking about you because of if you go to a movie and somebody won't shut the F up.
I'll go shut them up.
And they're that loud and that obnoxious. So
I'll Will Smith.
And listen, we've all been to enough shows, too.
Get the words out your mouth.
Get your Eagles lyrics out your mouth.
You know the person who loves to yell and holler at the quiet moments just so they can be heard by everybody else in the show? She was bragging about doing that before the concert even started.
She was saying that was your modus operandi.
I'm that woman.
Oh,
yeah.
Seriously?
I'm going to do that. Yeah. Oh, and Bobby Weir liked it when I did it at the Dead show.
Oh, no, 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 he didn't.
No, he didn't.
And
no.
She had had a lot to drink.
She'd had some cocktails, and I would say probably late 40s, early 50s. She was not a bitch. She was not mean. She was not. She just was really loud and really obnoxious. So the concert starts and she's having a good time and she's talking about how she's going to get up and dance. And then she starts to get up and dance.
Okay.
And she works her way down at the end of the row, which I actually thought was kind of courteous. Like she was going to be out of the row and, and into the stairs.
Aisle.
Yeah, the aisle so that she could dance and have a great time. And apparently there's somebody that we know, and I'm not going to say her name, but the dancing woman, the obnoxious dancing woman was really starting to bother many people in the section. So the woman that we know went to security and said, listen, this lady's kind of getting on everybody's nerves. She's getting and the dancing woman was kind of pushing people out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, walking down the row to get to the aisle. So blocking people's views as she's getting out,
Bobby Weir liked it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Exactly. So after the complaint, security comes. Right. And at this point, I texted all of you guys. And this was literally two songs in. That's how loud and obnoxious she was. And
Two songs,
yeah. And so security comes midway through the second song, which was New Kid in Town. And they shine the flashlights. And in the middle of Life in the Fast Lane, they start escorting her out.
Oh, no.
What's her reaction to be escorted out?
Angry, yelling, this is not my fault. I paid for these tickets.
Right.
She didn't pay for the tickets. She had won the tickets from a radio station that is not in our cluster. When she sat down, she's like, not bad for free tickets.
So
she hadn't paid a dime for these tickets, which made me feel a little bit better about the whole situation, right? So all of this happens. She gets escorted out, and everybody kind of around us, once she left, a little bit of a, you know, breathing a sigh of relief.
Right.
And then before the end of Hotel California, the end of the record, she sat back down. But when she sat back down, it was actually okay. And then they gets to the intermission. Apparently security had talked to her. She was going to be all right. So then we get to the intermission.
Did she have a muzzle on?
Well, not literally.
Like a falcon?
But I think security had spoken to her in a way that she understood and appreciated. And no actual muzzle, but maybe, you know, an imaginary one.
So she's a little contrite.
We get to the intermission, and then it starts ramping back up again. And then she starts complaining about security, and she starts talking about the lady who stopped her from dancing.
So hang on. Who's she talking to?
Well, there was a gentleman who was with her.
Okay.
And then there was another lady who was also loud, but not nearly as obnoxious to her left. So the lady that was bothering everybody in the section was behind me to the right. Her man, her husband, whatever, was directly behind me.
Yes, and then, dear.
he was that guy.
Did they leave with her when she got kicked out?
No. Well, the guy did.
The guy did, okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you kind of have to do that.
So we get into the Seven Bridges Road and then Take It Easy in one of these nights, and she's getting louder and louder and louder and more obnoxious again.
And just talking constantly?
Talking, I mean, constantly.
Oh, Jesus.
Why are you?
You're missing the show yourself.
I don't get that. Well, she won the ticket, so you can't say she paid for them. But still, you're there to see a legendary band. You are missing what you came to experience.
So you're missing it, and now you're really starting to impact everybody around you.
What's she talking about all this time?
I mean, once the second set started, she was talking about how security had mistreated her and how she deserved to be there, and she was going to be there to dance, and she was going to be there to party.
Can I ask you to kind of, not necessarily imitate her, but give us an idea of, like, the volume at which she was speaking? Like, I came here, like, at this level, was she talking like this loud?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
during
I came here, security talked to me. I'm just here to have a good time.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite bands. Uh-huh. I want to make sure I see all of this. So what am I doing wrong? Like that type
that
of thing?
That is an, yeah, absolutely. That's a right. very accurate representation. And it was, I'm not exaggerating. It was nonstop.
I mean, so she's not just talking to the people she's with. She's making sure that everybody hears this.
Everybody hears her.
And that this is a vocal complaint.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Uh-huh. So...
And how far is she from you, by the way?
Directly behind me. I mean, literally, like, the seat behind. I was in section whatever, and she was in the same section, row behind me, same seat as me.
Okay, she's up!
So, my girlfriend, Andrea, can sense that I'm starting to feel the way that you do, Steve, in the movie, and I'm starting to get impatient and tense and angry. And
besides, the concert is burning off as you're trying to deal with this.
Right. You're losing your
moments. Losing your experience.
Yeah.
So they get to one of my favorite songs of all time, not just Eagles song, but Take It to the Limit. I love that song. I love the harmonies in it. Yeah. It's just a beautiful song, and it's a quiet song, and she's still going. And at this point, I realized that two people that were one to my left and then one down in front had gotten up and left. And and my girlfriend's like, I think that they're going to talk to security.
Okay.
So at the end of Take It to the Limit.
By the way, they've missed a part of the song. They've had to do that.
Yeah, and the song for me is not ruined, but like certainly impacted by this obnoxious woman. So then security comes back.
Right. So this time they have dogs.
Well, they had more. they had like four or five security personnel at this point and were shining the flashlights and that was it. She was done. And it was then, Preston, it was, I can't believe that they're doing this to me. I paid for these tickets. We paid $300 for these. We're going to have to drive all the way back to
I thought she got it for free.
Of course she got it for free.
She was lying about that.
She was lying about that. And security, it took about 2 or 3 minutes. They got her down the row. They got her out. And I've seen people being escorted out before. I didn't watch this happen. But my guess is security got her to the door of the Wells Fargo Center, pushed her ass out, and that was the end of her night. Yeah.
Was there any spontaneous applause or anything like that?
No, but there was this sense of, a palpable sense of relief of everybody around. Everybody could exhale and enjoy the show because now this part was over.
I'm going to go to Kim. She saw this happening. Hi, Kim. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Wonderful. All right, Kim. So
it was fabulous, I just have to say.
It was.
You saw this exact event taking place?
Yeah, I was sitting actually in 110 up on row 23 and looking over. I just happened to look over and I saw a security guard come out and she did not look happy. Not a happy camper. She was like, you out. Like, you could tell she had had enough. It was at a point of, we tried.
Yeah.
Get your stuff and let's go.
Yeah.
Person you weren't going to mess with.
They gave her an opportunity. They talked to her.
Yeah, they warned her once. They escorted her out once. They allowed her to come back in and sit back down again. And then the second offense, she's gone.
You know, at church, a lot of churches have a crying room. They should have like a crying room for concerts.
They definitely should have a room. I think everybody had their own little section of this kind of person. And you were like, oh, Lord. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and after all this time, people have been in sort of stasis, and for many, this was a return to the concert experience. Can we come back a little bit better than we exited and give everyone a good time and have a wonderful experience re-entering the concert going scene? But I guess once an a-hole, always an
a-hole.
But
listen, it's
pretty much
there's somebody at every concert.
Yeah, and you suffer sometimes.
We've all experienced it
for
right?
sure. But thanks, I mean, Kim. Read the room, like recognize what everything's going on around you. The other people that
you
are
don't
in that
flash
section.
Your knockers during Desperado.
Right? There was a.
I don't know. I think there's always.
Why don't you come to your senses?
Look at these.
You gotta stop building fences.
Bill Burns from our sales department just came walking in, so hang on a second.
Bill and I were in the same section. Bill was like two or three rows behind me. We were both in 109. They were great seats, and really was a great show, except for...
It was phenomenal. It was a great show, but you missed the part that when she came down and started dancing in front of us in the empty row.
Yeah.
Then when security guard said, please go back, she turned around and gave her the double bird.
Okay.
So the security guard came over. She was very nice and just said, can you please go back, go sit down. And then she turned around,
flipped her off,
and double bird, and then that set her off.
Okay.
That's when the security the nice a woman went back and got somebody else, and then they came down your side.
Okay.
It's too much. Right. It's too much.
And then, you know, if you go to a Phil's game or you go to an Eagles game, like, there's those things where you can text now. You can say what section you're in, what row you're in, and security will come and handle the situation. I don't know if they have that at concerts or not, but they should. Because,
they should.
You know, getting up to get the security, you feel awkward doing it. You don't want to be the person to rat other people
out.
You
can just as, well, as clearly established here, you can just as easily ruin the experience at a concert by being this person, especially, as you say, not being able to read the room. That's actually become one of the things that I don't like. Now, mind you, I'm just willing to, I want to re-embrace everything now, so I'll probably be a little bit more accommodating.
Right.
But that sort of experience can easily be ruined if you're, what if during, like a bad U2 song, you know, or the song where you, I'm going to plug into the emotion here, and you've got this cackling chicken behind you. It's
right. Well, here's the, let me go to Denise. Hi, Denise. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Denise. You wanted to share a similar story, right?
Yes. My brother is listening, too, and he said to me, are you listening to this? I said, yes. I said, we went to go see Hamilton, and we were sitting next. We were in a row, and my brother and my sister-in-law were sitting next to this woman. She comes blowing in and sits down. It's like, whoa, I'm like a good time or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And she's going on, and she's eating snacks, and she's got this jingling necklace on. She's playing with the whole time, and she's singing to every song and going on. And then at intermission, we switch seats because it's really tight there. So I ended up sitting next. My father's like, I'll sit next to her. I'm like, oh, no, you won't, because you would have pulled it off. So then I said to him, I'm like, I'll sit there. So as soon as I sat down and she looks at me, I pointed my finger and I pointed at her. I'm like, you settle down. I said, people are trying to enjoy this show.
Yeah.
And she didn't, though. She was still, like, singing the whole time and jingling her necklace and open.
Did you go for security? Did you let alert someone in the theater to come and extract her?
No, we didn't. I don't know if she was on something or what, but I couldn't believe like how obnoxious she was.
You could be on something outside the theater.
Right.
There's this, especially with the cost of a Hamilton ticket.
And I guess, exactly. So you're going and you're thinking, okay, you know, concerts you can sing along to, but like a Broadway show.
During Death of a Salesman, if you're flashing your.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's
You go, Biff!
All right. Thanks, Denise. Yeah, it can ruin it. Hang on a second. Case, do I have time to go to another call?
Maybe just one more.
All right. Let me go to Bill. Hey, Bill, good morning.
How you doing?
Good, buddy. What's up?
It was a great concert last night, and I had the same exact experience in 114.
Oh, my God.
We had a group of women behind us, my wife and I. And they did nothing but talk about the dumbest crap. And then the people in front of us started talking. And I also had Andre the Giant come down the row and, of course, sat right next to me.
Yep.
And then my wife leans to me and says, you know, this B.I., you know,
bitch
behind us won't shut her mouth.
Yeah.
Behind us like that. And then she got quiet after that.
Well, people don't have a spatial awareness. They don't. And I think also, Preston, you picked up on something which is true. A lot of people want to put on a show themselves.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Look
at me. You're an inner narcissist.
This song.
Yes.
And, you know, and I know all the trivia about the band.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it all out loud right now so everybody knows that I'm the biggest fan here.
Free tickets, too. They were free. They made sure they said that. And mine were free, too. But, you know, but again, it was amazing.
Bunch of freeloaders, all of you. All right. Thanks, Bill. That sucks.
So who here tonight actually bought tickets?
All right. Well, there are a number of other calls that are coming up saying the same thing. That, they've had either experiences like this at different shows or at that show last night as well. So
it was a bit unruly at times.
Take this pause and realize you can have a better experience.
Yeah.
Give everyone, be accommodating to people around you. Let's start the reemergence on a better foot.
That said, Joe Walsh is something else. It was so cool watching him. Don Henley sounded great. If they tour again and you've not seen the Eagles, I can't recommend it more highly. Really was a fantastic show.
Jesus, man, can you change the channel? You, man, if you like my music, get your own ass. I had a really rough...
I'll flip this out and kick your ass out.
Man, come on.
Kick your ass.
A rough night, and I hate the Eagles, man.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
They are amazing.
They really are.
It is true. All right, we have to take a break because we have some guests coming up.
Thank you
for your calls. I appreciate that. We'll return in just a moment or two. You know what? Let me give away some passes for a Dolby screening of Universal Pictures' explosive new action thriller, Ambulance.
Yeah.
And it's going to be on Tuesday, April 5th at the AMC Fashion District in Center City. So we'll take callers 10, 11, 12 at 215-263-WMMR. It's a Michael Bay film, Jake Gyllenhaal. A bunch of other great people in this. It's rated R, only in theaters on April 8th. So we'll get you on board, and we'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
MMR rocks Women's History Month.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Dorothy.
This is Amy Lee.
It's Joan Jett.
It's Lizzie Hale from the band Hailstorm.
Hi, I'm Mia Strauss.
This is Jen and Corey.
We're from Skillet. What's up?
Hey, it's Taylor Momsen from The Pretty Reckless.
This is Lilith Starr.
Hey, y'all. It's Rebecca
and Megan. Together, we're Lark and Poe.
Rock and roll is visceral.
Rock and roll is powerful.
And so are the voices behind it.
Women have always been
and will always be
a driving force in rock history.
And our voices and our instruments
are just getting louder.
Every day.
Getting louder every day.
Every single day.
So from me,
everyone in Hailstorm,
from Evanescence,
from The Pretty Reckless,
from the Blackhearts and WMMR.
WMMR.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
for writing the next chapter with us.
WMMR, saluting all the women who've rocked our world.
Go kill it, ladies.
So the Muppets Mayhem is set to stream on Disney Plus, and this is the Mayhem Band. You know, the Muppets, the whole crew,
Dr. Teeth,
and of course Animal, possibly the greatest Muppet character ever created. That's my personal humble opinion. And listen, it's been a long time since we have spoken to Beverly's son, and I'm really excited to have him on this morning. Adam Goldberg, Bruce Wayne. Yeah.
Good morning,
Hello,
Adam. Everybody.
Nice to see
you.
I
like that I'm known as Beverly's son.
You're Beverly's son to us, because Beverly is just near and dear in our heart. And also, one of the voices that you know from the Muppets world, and we've had him on the program many times, Mr. Bill Barretta.
Yes. Hey,
Bill. Hey.
Hi, how are you? I'm Gene's brother.
You're Gene. That's right. I missed the obvious sound.
We really talk to Gene a lot, and you're just kind of collateral damage.
I know.
Right, listen, by the way, Adam, so you're co-creator, this both of you guys are, and Adam, what's been your history with the Muppets? Obviously, we know you from the Goldbergs and other projects, but what about the Muppets and your involvement?
I have a long, long history with the Muppets dating back to when I was four and got my first scooter puppet for my birthday, and then proceeded to graduate to getting an animal puppet, which I kept all the way through high school, made a lot of home movies with my Muppets. And then, you know, just been a lifelong fan, like a true diehard fan since I was a kid. And one of my first jobs when I was in my early 20s was I had the opportunity to write The Muppet Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
Which was made. It was an ABC. They ended up airing it on ABC. And that's when I first met Bill in my early 20s at a Muppet table read, where all the performers were there doing all the voices. And I sat in the corner, trembled, like literally terrified. Yeah. And Bill was like the star. Everyone was gathered around Bill. And this was like, you know, Bill has no memory of me, of course, because I was like, people probably thought I was like the person that gets coffee, because that's how I was like in the corner hiding. But I just, in that moment, I'm like, this is the star of the Muppets. I want to work with this guy when I know what I'm doing, when I'm an adult. And here I am now, like probably 15 years later, doing this show with Bill. Just been so really one of my earliest jobs, professional jobs. And now that I know what I'm doing, I can actually do it right this time.
Okay. Well,
so I'm back working with Bill.
Okay. It's your adoration for the Muppets has been peppered in throughout the Goldbergs and so much. Yeah. And you're right. It's funny to see adults and when even like with Sesame Street, I think Samuel L. Jackson was just on. And you can see the whimsy just almost overwhelming even the staunchest movie badass who go there and just be reduced to the kid or whatever. It just appeals to on so many levels. But to be a part of this project and Bill, you know, we talk about your our friendship with your brother. He's kind of kept us our friendship with your brother has kept us apprised of this. Where did this notion of the Muppets Mayhem come from? Who instigated it first?
Oh, wow. Well, it's so interesting, actually. Adam and I both at different times, and our other partner, co-creator of the show, Jeff Yorks, who is a old friend of Adam's, they're friends for years. They were developing an idea about the band. And after we had done a concert, Outside Lands concert in San Francisco, the actual Mayhem band did about 25 minutes set at this music festival.
That's great.
Oh, it was huge. It ended up being, there was literally like 30,000 people on this lawn watching us perform to pre-recorded music, by the way, which they loved. People went nuts. And so I just thought, boy, wouldn't this be fun to do something just with the band? And I had been working on that idea for a while, and I didn't know it at the time, but Adam and Jeff had been working together, and the Muppet Studios brought us together, and we've just been in love ever since.
It's been it's like The Bachelor. It's beautiful. So go ahead, Adam.
Yeah. No, I've learned a valuable lesson, which is we have Zoom writers' rooms, which we're not in person, and whenever you're creating a show, create a show with a voice performer, because Bill just entertains us all day long. Various characters and voices, and it's the best. It's the best.
You know what?
Right on.
Yeah, so you're gonna, Bill, you're gonna be Dr. Teeth, correct?
Yes, I took over. Fortunately, I was allowed to take over the part of Dr. Teeth over Jim Henson, who originally performed him.
Wow.
So I've been doing him for many years now, and yeah, that's the character that I'll be wiggling around.
So but when you take on a character who is, you know, done by an icon like Jim Henson like that, and that character itself is iconic, are you doing your best to do an impression of how Jim would have done it? Do you add a little bit of your own flavor to it?
Yeah, it's I could never be Jim's Dr. Teeth, right? So I at best it's an impersonation, but then, you know, over time you start to find your way of infusing some of yourself, I think, into that, and so that the character doesn't just stay stagnant. You know, he grows, continue to grow. And just something I learned real quick, you know, I perform Rolf the Dog and Dr. Teeth, and so these both growly kind of characters. And I was performing Dr. Teeth one day, and Dave Gold said to me, you know, Jim used to grit his teeth when he did Dr. Teeth. And so I learned that this was kind of an approach to get to the sound and the feel of Dr. Teeth.
Right.
I grin it.
That's great.
So it's a combo of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of had to let the impersonation go a bit. Yeah.
You know what, as near and dear as the Muppets are to, you know, anybody my age and younger, obviously, but I'm aware of who did the voices. I try to disassociate that person from the voice because I so want this character to be real. Yeah. And, you know, so, but I mean, I was a big Frank Oz fan, as was so many people with all the variety of voices that
I'm
he
not.
Did.
You're not going to stand
him. That bastard. Did he, was he the voice of Animal? I had always assumed that he was. Okay.
Well, yeah, he's the creator of Animal. You know, he would say to you, the voice is about 10%, but the character that he created, yeah, is Animal.
Wow. It's amazing. And with the Muppets, one of the draws, and going back to the Muppet Show, is when that show was on, the biggest stars of the time were on that show.
Yep.
I mean, you had Elton John and Buddy Rich, and, you know, and all these
Mark Hamill,
gigantic stars would come on this show. Is that something you guys are looking to achieve with the Muppets Mayhem as well, Adam?
Absolutely. If you know Buddy Rich, since our show is set in the music world, we are looking at the biggest to get anyone, the big music superstars, we want them all on the show. And the great thing about this band and the Muppets in general is when you ask if there's availability, it's more likely they're going to come. For the Muppets than for any other new show that's out there. Because, you know, Muppets just have 40 years of history and everyone wants to meet animals. So, you know, hopefully we'll get the big stars.
Bill,
that's the intention.
Bill, I was lucky enough, you invited me to the set of Muppets Most Wanted back in 2013 and 2014. We were at Pinewood Studios outside of London. And this is Nick, by the way. It's nice to see
you.
Hey,
Nick.
I'm doing great. It was such a cool experience, in no small part because you would see the Muppets lying there lifeless before they were brought out on set, right? Mm-hmm. And so you see these actual iconic characters, and to me, sentient living beings, but they weren't brought to life yet. And I'm curious, you know, your perspective, Bill, about like when you see Kermit, when you see the what the puppet actually is before it gets to set, do you feel the magic attached to those these characters?
Oh, probably when I first started. I mean, it's been 30 years, so I think, you know, not that the magic has gone away, but for me, they come alive when they come alive in the set, you know, not so much sitting there on the table. But I understand what you're talking about. I know that feeling.
It's like a puppet morgue, right? When you see them.
it's kind of like a buffet of characters.
Well, I love that.
Play around with it, you know.
I love that it's fans that are behind the creation of this, because when the Muppets came back onto the scene, when like Jason Segel did the Muppet movie back in, what was that, 2011, he was a fan. And so you could see that like in the actual like the finished product and stuff. So Adam, you and I were contemporaries, and so you grew up with the Muppet Show and Fraggle Rock and Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas and all of that stuff. So I would imagine that you're taking that love and that passion that you experienced when you were a kid.
Oh, absolutely! And it's so interesting when you say all the writers in the writers' room, we forget that we're not writing for actors, like, because we know is what we've seen and what the performers can do. So we'll pitch stuff like Dr. Teeth rolls his eyes, and it's like, you know, and Bill will be like, that's a puppet. So it actually roll its eyes, but you feel like you're writing for a human because the performers are so good. Bill's like, Bill showed us all a video just how to get some Muppets walking through a door. And he was filming below, you know, where the performers were. And there was like 19 people crawling around on top of each other just to get them to walk.
Yeah.
You know, they're rolling on dollies and what, you know, there's people are just the hands and some of the performers and there's camera people and holding wires. It's really complicated.
Well, there's something to that analog approach that, and I think that's something you never want to lose because, Nick Murphy, who does the video work here for the show, we've talked about special effects in movies and so on and so forth. I don't like all digital. I like the mix of the analog and you get something I think that's really special, especially with this realm. I wanted to ask you both, going all the way back to the early days, Sesame Street and Jim Henson's vision and then, you know, to the Muppet Show and so on and so forth. There's always been an SNL. There's always been this very acerbic wit to the material that transcended. It's a puppet show, you know, right. And there was a knowing. When did you in your childhood, like for you, example, Adam, start to realize they were playing a sharper comedy note than you might have been aware of as a younger child?
Well, I think, you know, for me, the one of the greatest Muppet jokes of all time. First of all, there's Muppet movie when there's a fork in the road.
Yeah.
Oh, and
yeah.
That's like, you know, that's a great joke for a little kid.
Right.
To see a giant fork in a road. And then there's something we talked about in the room where I remember in Great Muppet Caper, everyone's talking at once and Kermit's screaming for everyone to calm down. And Janice is still talking. And she's talking about how she was taking nude photography for somebody. And, you know, she's the last one talking still. And then she realizes everyone else is talking and she stops. But I remember as a kid, I'm like, what is that? Like,
yeah.
So there are those memories of like jokes that went over your head and then you watch them as an adult and you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't get that when I was a little kid.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, there's that double love. And that's what we want to do with our show. And the thing with this band is they're perpetually high. I mean, that's what all the memes are. You know,
happy. You mean happy?
Right. Yeah. Happy. Yeah. That's like there's like memes. There's one of my favorite internet memes is them the band with Willie Nelson, and it's like the meme is something like, it's crazy that Willie Nelson is the least baked one in this bonus. So, and even having the puppets themselves have closed eyes. Like, I never realized that.
Yeah, you Janice's know, that... eyes are closed all the time.
Yeah.
Well, so with this, can we expect the tone to be, is there a little bit of Spinal Tap? Is there a little bit of Almost Famous? Is there a little bit of The Last Waltz? What's being incorporated into this?
I think it's all of that. I think we're trying to make ourselves laugh, which is, I think, the tradition of the Muppets, is that the writers and the performers all were trying to make themselves laugh. And, you know, Jim never really felt that he was shooting for a specific demographic. He just felt it was for everyone. And we're just walking that line and making sure, you know, it's not too offensive for kids, but yet it's still fun for adults. And we're doing the same thing. You know, it's kind of like, I think of also like the old Warner Brothers cartoons when I was a kid. I had no idea what most of those jokes probably were until I got older. And I think that's what's great about the Muppets is you can keep watching as you get older and you get more out of it. So I think that's kind of our, right, Madam? That's kind of how we're...
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So there is no release date just yet. Is there a time frame that we're looking here?
Well, we're shooting in a couple weeks.
Okay.
I know that. but I think we're going to assume it's going to be in the fall or winter, maybe around Christmas, hopefully.
Are you concerned about the shaky nature of the Disney Corporation and whether it'll be around?
You never know. They could fold. Yeah.
Believe it or not, I mean, as an adult, I'm going to Disney World in less than a month, and I will absolutely positively make it into the Muppet Theater. Like, as an adult, like, I still, to this day, I absolutely love them.
Yeah, man. Yeah, us too. I mean, we want... As far as Disneyland or Disney World goes, we want more Muppets there. I mean, this is one of the goals with this show is, like, you know, I look at, you know, there's a Moon Knight show coming out on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
No one besides comic book fans know who Moon Knight is. And in a month, everyone's going to be talking about Moon Knight being the biggest piece of, like, franchise IP. Mm-hmm. Disney has the Muppets. Bigger than most Marvel characters, you know, Kermit, all these are iconic characters. They should be all over Disney World, Disneyland. Like, we just want to, one of our goals is just to have this, you know, 24/7 Muppets. Like, there's going to be shows and movies and variety shows and live shows. It's right now, it's kind of like an untapped piece of property they own, just, you know, that we feel like just should be the one of the bigger properties they have.
Yeah.
Okay. And with that, if you're going to expand this much, I was going to target this towards you, Bill, as far as creating new characters for the Muppets, because there's only a handful. There's a few, and maybe sometimes you'll see something new pop up. But how hard is it to weasel in a new character amongst that troupe? I would imagine people are pitching it regularly. I have an idea for a character, and then you have to go through tons of development to get something that you think is going to be worthy and is going to stick. So is it a lengthy and difficult process to create a Muppet?
Yeah, you know, it just depends. I mean, there have been characters that came out of being in the background and something happened. For example, Miss Piggy was a dancing pig and she was in the background and she came out of that because the guys were playing around and the character started to grow out of that. Other times it's written. And so that process is probably a little longer maybe because you're trying to find the person that fits, you know, or feels like they have a handle on who that is. We have some new characters coming up in the show and, so that process is going to be about finding the performer, and you have no time to test them. You know, it's just going to find the right person, hopefully.
Does sometimes the voice come first, or is it usually the character and then you put the voice to it? Or how does that process work out?
Again, I think it just depends on the performer. You know, there's characters that I've done or created that started with a real person. And so I kind of knew who, you know, what the personality was like, and then tried to figure out, well, what does that person maybe sound like? And then what is the character? What is the design? If, for example, Pepe was my wife's aunt.
Okay.
Okay.
So I took her personality and applied this voice to her, to this character. And then we decided later that it would be a King Prawn. And so it just grew out of stages.
Okay.
You know, it just depends.
Because anybody who's had kids, if they have toys and you it's playtime with your kids, you gotta put on a voice or something like that. And then all of a sudden you start doing it, you're like, either, wait, I can't do this for very long. This actually hurts my throat.
Yeah. This is tiring. Or,
and that sounds like I'm the porn producer. Yeah. I'm not going to do that any longer. So you got to play, I guess, right?
Well, that's funny. I think that's probably the most natural approach, is that you're trying to change your voice, right? That's the quickest thing you can change about yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Is probably your voice. But then it really becomes about, how do I delineate or differentiate between this character and that? Like I said, Ralph the Dog and Dr. Teeth could sound very similar.
Right.
But by the nature of the character, Ralph's a little more whimsy and he's light and floppy. And then Dr. Teeth is more gritty and cool.
Yeah.
So you try to find the personality and infuse the voice that way, I think.
But I really do love this approach, because the Muppets, for all of their run, have been an ensemble, right? It's been all or nothing. They've always been the Avengers, right? But, you know, taking this one group of Muppets and just sort of putting the microscope on them is awesome. Yep. And you can do that, like, you know, because you'd mention, like, this, you know, the Disney and the whole Marvel universe. Right. Like, you can take these Avengers and you have these standalones. I'm looking at, like, Statler and Waldorf, you know, the two old guys that are in the balcony. Those guys have a backstory, right? There is a reason why, you know, and so there literally could be a whole other side story of what their lives are like, and Gonzo and his chickens, and it's so I just sort of dawning on me right now, this approach to the Muppets franchise, Adam, that you were just talking about.
Oh yeah, I mean, we can do, I mean, Pigs in Space. I keep pitching a Bunsen and Beaker show. I mean,
Rats in New York.
You know, yeah. The greatest thing is there's so many great characters to pull from. And that's really rare that you have this deep bench. Now for us, for this show, we really are focusing on the band. And that's been so cool, because you don't know anything about some of these characters, where they're from, how they met. Like, just to dig in there, it's been really cool creatively. And working with the performers who've been doing these characters for years, you know, just making them more three-dimensional, you know, more just like, just adding in all these elements you never knew about them. It's just really fun to take these iconic characters and flesh them out like that.
I'm wondering, Adam, because of the iconic nature and, you know, anytime someone takes a dive into expanding universe or building upon it or creating new material, you have hardcore fans. Think about, like, Star Wars fans have done to George Lucas and things in the past. You know, I can't imagine you have very vitriolic Muppet fans, but are they for the most part accepting, or have you had anybody irate?
There's vitriolic fans of everything, of any sports,
yeah,
you know, Star Wars, Marvel, and Muppets. So, you know, hopefully, I think what my thing is, like, giving people what they want, like, you know, not changing it too much, having it feel familiar, the thing they fell in love with, but then adding new elements on top of it that you go, oh, I never realized that. I think Cobra Kai is the show that does it best.
Yeah.
It's just taking something you love, giving it to you again, but also building upon it in ways that kind of blows your mind. So that's my approach when you're doing something like this. And I think when you have Bill, who's been doing it for so long, I mean, Bill worked at Sesame Place. Like, there's a world where Bill helped me out of a ball pit.
He's trying to say I'm older than him.
Bill has been doing this for so long that at the end of the day, we have someone who, and Bill and Dave particularly, have been doing this for so long. They are, you know, they know what the other performers like. They know the tone. So we really are well covered with this show.
Adam, were Bill's first words to you, "Where is your mommy?"
I said, yeah, no. I mean, I love Bill. when Bill was at Sesame Place, there, I mean, it was the age where I would have been going, and I said, I'm the one that pooped in the ball.
Bill, did you have to perform in that parade they would have every day at Sesame Place?
No, no, I was too busy sweeping up cigarette butts and cleaning toilets.
By the way, Adam,
my only memory
of Sesame Place is that ball pit. If my memory serves me correctly, it was green balls only. And I remember getting out of, like, coming out of the ball pit and not being able to find my family. They had all left. Every single one had left
the ball pit.
Casey couldn't discern the ruse that the family was trying to execute.
And this guy, Bill, reached out his hand and he pulled me out of the ball pit.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, Sesame Place, I probably wouldn't be a part of all this if I hadn't worked there, because that's where I met Brian Ensign. He worked there in the summer as well.
That's
why we first met and became friends, and years later we connected again and did other things. And
had you gotten a job just about a quarter mile further down the road, you could be working at Today's Man. So,
yeah, or Mr. Dunderbox at the Oxford Valley Mall.
And Adam, I wanted to thank you for taking the time to talk to us today, because I know that you're on spring break right now, so taking time out of your vacation.
Of course, anytime. I have the original Garbage Pail Kids painting, a color rough of your show of Preston and Steve. So I don't know if you guys have that at all.
Yeah, we have that somewhere.
Yeah.
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 You have the final painting, I have the rough. So I'm big fans anytime.
Oh, that's awesome. Anytime. We appreciate it. Yeah. This and what you guys are involved with right now, very exciting. You know, when you get the information on the actual premiere, let us know, because I mean, you know, who doesn't love the material in the Muppets, for crying out?
And I'm curious, a guy that we know that we've met before, Kirk Thatcher, he's involved in Muppets. Is he involved in this as well?
No, Kirk just did the Muppet Haunted Mansion with Bill.
Okay.
So Kirk is coming off directing that and won a producer's... What did you guys win? A producer's
couple? PGA, yeah. We won a PGA.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
And Kirk
golf, but it was producer.
Kirk directed the Muppet Wizard of Oz. So I've worked with Kirk. He's amazing.
Nice.
Yeah. But we have a tiny little group on this one. And I think... Kirk is, I can only assume, going to do another Muppet movie at some point.
I would think so.
Well, the Halloween, the Haunted Mansion, that's going to be a perennial. That was a blast.
Yep.
Oh, good. I'm glad you liked it.
All right. Well, when you get a date, when you know exactly when this is hitting, please let us know, because we are more than happy to help spread the word. We're such big fans, and we appreciate you guys' time.
Thank you.
Can I say two quick things?
Please do, Bill. Yep.
I have to say hello to my brother, otherwise he won't talk to me.
Right? Hey, Gene.
And then happy Piano Day. I don't know if you're aware of this
musical,
but it is Piano Day. And look out for Rolf the dog. He has a little video that will be coming out probably later this morning.
Oh,
all right.
Wonderful. We will certainly look out for that. All right, guys, thank you. And again, it is The Muppets Mayhem. It's going to be on Disney+. We'll get you the dates as soon as we find out. Thank you, Adam Goldberg and Bill Burrell. Yeah. Hey. You guys are the best. We appreciate it. I love it. Man. Excited for it.
It's time to play the music.
Oh, my God.
It's time to light the light.
So I remember obviously, Dr. Teeth and Animal. And I remember Janice was the bass player.
You got Zoot is the blue one. He's the one who plays the saxophone.
And then he looks in it at the end after blowing that last note on this song, right?
Yes. Yep.
I always assumed Dr. Teeth was a riff on Dr. John.
And then Floyd, is that the other guy?
Yes. You know his full name?
No.
Sergeant Floyd Pepper.
Pepper, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So that's cool, man. When that comes out, we'll definitely let you know when that's going to be happening.
I remember when they for a brief period, they were selling like Kermit puppet dolls that were fairly were accurate. And even then, you'd look at it and be like, "Wow, there's some sort of electricity off those things."
I had a Cookie Monster when I was a kid, when I was a little kid. And it had like a hole in the back of the throat.
Oh,
of course,
no.
I would stick my I would have meat cookies.
Different kind of monster.
And he would disappear.
He's better than a cookie.
Yeah.
You like just better than a cookie, bitch.
That's terrible.
Preston is concerning me. He uses his little thingy to I don't know. It's revolting.
My favorite by far was Grover from Sesame Street. He was my dude. He was the one that I liked the most. By the way, I mentioned Frank Oz. Does he legitimately not like Frank Oz when he said that, or was he joking?
Oh, he's joking.
Oh, yes, he was kidding. Yeah. I thought you meant Bill Weston, because I thought I could see Bill Weston.
I don't like him.
Too much fun for children.
Little Rugrats drive me crazy.
Because Frank Oz, I loved all of his characters. I loved Grover and Miss Piggy. Who else did he voice? Animal was another one, obviously.
Bernie.
He was Ernie. He was Bert. And then Ernie was Jim Henson.
You ever hear Miss Piggy back-to-back with Yoda? They're really similar.
Oh, yeah. They're almost identical.
I will tell you something that might be sacrilege, but after a while, the constant focus on Kermit and Miss Piggy, I got bored of. You got 4,400 other Muppets. Can we hear about them?
Okay.
I got sick of moi.
That might be true, and I respect that, Steve. However, at their wedding in Muppets Take Manhattan, I get a little misty-eyed.
Yes.
That's a beautiful ceremony. You didn't tell me otherwise.
Just a little too much, because I liked all the other characters, too, and I wanted to see them.
All right. Well, do we have a couple of minutes to...
Yes, sir.
To play with
here? Our square dance?
Yes, it's time. Everybody, your partner.
Right.
Bow to your corner.
Bow to your corner. And, God, square dancing. You know, we should really do that.
We should do it.
We should get a square dance caller in here.
I never did that, by the way.
Do it. You never did
No, that was a perennial for you guys in gym class.
For gym class.
Oh, yeah, without question. I used to alamand like a son of a bitch.
let's do it at a sorority mixer.
Oh,
a sorority.
Man.
Not a I think a sorority would be... Sorority party. Yeah.
Well, either one would work. I think a mixer or a sorority would be good. Because you'd Alaman and Promenade.
Oh, yeah. Promenade that pretty little lady. Mm-hmm. Promenade her home.
Do they still exist even, like the square dance callers?
I mean,
prior to COVID, there are a few places that'll do it. They'll have a night where people can come out.
Marissa? Yes,
our friends down the hallway have a weekly appearance at Prospectors in, is that Mount Laurel, New Jersey?
As a square dance?
Oh, you guys don't know Prospectors. Oh, my God. It is a country bar. They have, like, a bar and restaurant, and then they have a separate back room that
it's probably for
bigger.
Line dancing and not square dancing.
Is that different?
Yes.
Yeah. I went to a country bar one time.
It's actually pretty...
Did you?
Have you ever been to Gilly's?
The end of my story. I went to a country bar.
Okay, so we used to go to a country bar.
I got out and did a line dancing. I'm like, okay, I did it. We can leave now.
The hell was the name of it? It's right next to the King of Prussia Mall. No, but dude,
yes.
Steve.
Yeah, what was that called?
Here's the deal.
Sister Bangers.
No.
Spittoons?
Cousin Spittoons, I think.
No, it was like Texas Long.
No. Give me a second, though.
You danced with them when they came in the studio.
No. This was when I was in college. On Friday nights.
You're thinking of the Buckle Bunnies.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was at
the Xfinity Live.
Yeah, PBR.
Friday nights from 5 to 7, it was $5 to get in.
Yes.
All you could eat.
$10 to get out.
All you could drink. $5.
It's like a Plaza Azteca now. Like right.
You can't beat that.
No.
It's across the... I know exactly what we're talking about. We went there, too. My girlfriends would go line dancing at this place, and we would just go and get the cheap beers.
It was almost free beers.
Yeah.
$5 all you could eat, all you could drink. And the food was actually pretty decent. Man, what the hell was the name of it? Dude, I mean, we put them out of business.
We're watching the Buckle Bunnies video here, Casey, and you joining in towards the end of it. Yes.
Yeah. It was called KP Corral.
Yeah,
that's
KP
what it was
Corral.
It was fun.
And so,
where was this?
This all right. So it's the old like Fox and Hound. I don't remember it's called now, but that building was the KP Corral. And you walked in, and downstairs was the line dancing. You walked down, $5.
It was like the Dick Clark's restaurant for a stretch too. Yeah.
Yep. It was.
And it was like, I mean, gin and tonics, rum and coke. Yep. Like it wasn't. You know, it wasn't.
Oh. Yeah.
It was
well drinks for $5. Right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
No.
All night.
You paid $5.
Oh, dude, that is a recipe
because it was.
Oh, my God. Be as sloppy as you can possibly
Why would they even institute such a thing?
I guess maybe they thought, all right, we'll get them in here and then they'll stay.
And we'll lose all our inventory cheaply.
Well, they lost a lot of inventory.
They had one in Westchester at what used to be Alibi's 15 North, that place. And it was early. So if you got there at a certain time, it was only $5. And then it was, I think it was 25 cent. Yeah, it was 25 cent well drinks and then 50 cent beers at 9 o'clock. So from 7 to 9. line.
Yeah, that's just to get you there.
Right, right.
And then after that, they go back to regular price. Yeah. Everybody's going to stay. Everybody's going to hang out.
But they don't.
Yep. No, they were. I know what you're talking about.
No. Yep. We stayed. As long as you could stand, and then you had to go home.
I'm going
to
go to Jay. Hi, Jay. Good morning.
It's KP Corral.
Yeah. Did you used to go there, Jay?
Loved it.
Yeah?
I love the girl that went there. I really wasn't a good line dancer, but I went there for her.
Do you remember? Do you remember
you do a lot.
$5. $5 all you could eat and drink?
Yep, right on.
Wow. How did they make? Well, they didn't. They went out of business.
Yeah. Dude, I watched my buddy.
Thanks, Jay.
I don't want to say which business it was, and maybe they've got out of business, but the egg roll, there was like anything that could be turned into an egg roll, and we go and make appearances at this place. I'm trying to remember if it's on Delaware Avenue. But it was
strip club?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, was it Maui?
Philly Rock? Oh, well, Maui. Yeah, Maui had that, like, 10-cent drink thing.
That place is gross.
And it was disgusting, I know. And I was there every Saturday night for years. But, yeah, until, like, 10 o'clock or whatever.
Right, yeah.
And you could tell when it was coming to the end because there would be a mob around the bar.
Yeah, and you'd be carrying out 16.
And you'd be carrying as many cups as you possibly could. And everybody, I'm like, what's going on there? And like the second it was over, it just cleared.
Yeah.
And that's when I would go
over
and get
14 SoCo in line. Right. Please.
Oh my God.
That'll be $3.
Yeah.
But I remember my buddy, I've never seen control like this in my life. He was about to throw up, and he had a small little gin and tonic glass, and I just see in his face, and he goes, listen, you know how hard it is to stop peeing once you start?
Sure, yeah.
Try stop puking.
Right, yeah. Once you go.
He vomited into the glass, filled it to the very top, and then he looks at me like, I'm not done yet, and then I handed him my glass, he was like, and then barfed into that glass.
Was he putting lids on them?
No, but he then ended up like putting them.
These are to go.
He put them on the bar beneath his feet. I've never seen control like that. That God. I mean is a
think of the person that's got to clean up at a freight like a bar like that.
I know.
These are battle pay.
Yeah. I think there's a place in Westchester. I'm trying to find it that does line dancing.
There was one in Quakertown.
Well, we don't want to do line dancing. Okay. We're gonna do square dancing.
Square dancing like
is more. Line dancing is probably the more. That's more footloose territory, where square dance is more...
Well, square dance, you're just listening for what to do next. Right. Line dancing
is stupid easy. Line dancing... Line dancing is easy, but there is a little bit more to it than square dancing.
But I would think line dancing would be... I haven't done either. I would think line dancing would be done would be easier because it's a routine. It's the same thing. You're learning it. Once you got it,
I know.
Well,
square, you have to learn the various commands.
But the square dancing moves are easier.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. But Kathy, I think we should invent...
This is it.
We should invent rock and roll line dancing. Because it's only like country music line dancing, right?
Yeah. Break It Lounge is the place in Westchester that does the line dance. I don't know if they do square dancing, sorry.
There was one in Quakertown called Montana West that we had a few events there over the years, and they had a bull you could ride, and I know they had line dancing. I don't know if they ever had square dancing, though.
Hey, I'm going to go to MC on the phone. Hey, MC, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, it says here you worked at KP Corral.
Well, I worked there when it was popcorns, and then I think in like 1989, 1990, they turned it over to a country place.
Country popcorn.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah.
Well, what was popcorns?
It was like a nightclub back in the 80s, where they played dance music. I was a cocktail.
Oh, it sounds totally like a place. Everybody had a place called Confetti.
Oh,
so yeah. There you go. Popcorn, confetti. Yeah.
I forget what ours was called.
It was owned by Flanagan's. Like, there used to be a Flanagan's down on South Street. I think it was 2nd and South.
Total meat market, right?
Oh, my God. Total meat market. Yep. I got groped every single night.
All right. Yep. The good old days.
Oh, you can grope for $5.
And a lot of them were 18 to get in, 21 to drink.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we did that on Sundays. We did teen night on Sundays where we had to, like, put wood up over all the bar area, the wells and stuff. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That's funny.
Do you happen to remember how long KP Corral lasted, that it was able to stay in business?
They lasted a couple of years because it became line dancing and country music became really big at that time.
I remember.
But we didn't think that it was going to last. So when they did the redecorating to make it country, they just put plywood up over all the other like dance type decorations.
Plywood looks beautiful.
it was great. It was great.
They renamed it Finger Bangers, Bryce. Oh.
yeah, you get finger blasted in the bathroom.
All right, thanks, MC. Appreciate it.
That's great.
Yeah, I remember it was at that early 90s.
Yeah.
The line dancing craze hit and the bars started opening up. And that's when I went. I went to one and they tried teaching me some line dances.
How long? What were the years for Pulsations?
80s, late, you know, yeah. mid to late 80s. I remember going to their, I had to have been in like 6th or 7th grade.
And 88, 89.
That was that era.
And they had like a youth night, Steve, so you could go and obviously
youth night.
Anybody could attend, yeah.
Feel like you were an adult.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Marissa?
All right, I did some research. I found the Delaware Valley Federation of Square and Round Dancers.
Round dancing.
Oh. I don't know what round dancing that, is.
What they do is they even off the edges.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they have monthly meetups, places like the Brooklawn Community Center, Christ Church in Ridley Park, Emmaus Fire Company, all over the place.
It's so Apostle can, Square Dancing.
Yeah, maybe we can.
Well, down the road, we'll find an event where it makes sense and we'll do a square dance session. And like the whole night doesn't have to be square dancing.
No,
we could do a featured part of
dirty
whatever,
dancing.
Whatever our evening is. All right, round dance. Here we go. Modern social round dance. Round dancing is a choreographed and cued ballroom dance that progresses in a circular counterclockwise pattern around a dance floor. Well, this sounds like they would do it in Louis XIV's court or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
The two major categories of ballroom dances found in round dancing are the smooth and international ballroom styles and the Latin dances as well.
And the foxtrot.
I think of, like, I was watching The Man in the Iron Mask the other day. And they would stand there and just, like, put one hand up in front of each other and just essentially twirl around in a circle, and that's their version of dancing.
I always think of the dance scene in Top Secret, Preston, where they're doing the ballroom dance, but they're doing all these things It is kind of fun. The whole purpose of the square dancing in gym class, believe it or not, was to teach you your left from your right.
Oh my god,
really?
Yeah, that's what the whole thing was.
So we did it in high school, so we knew our left, and, or maybe they thought very little of us at that point.
It was elementary school for me.
Well, anyhow, I was going to talk about some other stuff, but I'm actually glad we talked about square dancing for just a moment. Because it gave us an idea of something to do down the road now that we're going to gather more often and get together and do things, which is really, really cool. And
we should get that woman from the concert or the Eagles concert want to do.
Yeah, she could be our instructor. Yeah.
God, no.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, let's take a break and come back in a second. Some bizarre file stories are coming up when we return. Don't forget, March Madness gets back in session again today. Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram City kicks off at noon with Pierre. We'll get the details with him when he pops in. We'll be right back.
MMR spotlights the best rock in Philadelphia with Jackson's Local Shots.
That's right, and this month's artist is Judah Kim. But it seems he got the back door, and all is better. Judah Kim, your Local Shots Artist of the Month. Check him out every Wednesday at 6:30 right here on the Mighty MMR.
And you can hear and see more now at WMMR.com. Keyword, Local Shots.
Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks, Philly.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre Finale.
Brought to you by Jersey Mike's Day of Giving. It is your time to shine for participants of the Special Olympics USA Games. You can grab a sub tomorrow, and all of those sales are going to be donated to the games. Jersey Mike's Be a Sub above. We'll do some more giveaways in just a little while. But in the meantime, I'm going to tell you some stories. We'll start with this man. A jury awarded $8 million last week to a man who has served a chemical cleaning compound instead of a beer at a bar and casino. It was Henderson's Bar and Casino. 38-year-old special education teacher Lon Enright ingested a sample of honey blonde ale that contained a dangerous chemical cleaning solution while watching a football game. The sample of beer contained potassium hydroxide and nonylphenol ether. So this is this big, long thing here, polyethylene glyco ether, which are chemicals used in cleaning systems for bar taps and tanks and lines. After drinking the sample, according to the news release, Dr. Enright experienced a sudden and intense burning in his mouth, on his tongue, and down his esophagus into his stomach. He soon began convulsing, hyperventilating, and violently vomiting before fire department arrived on the scene. Enright suffered a permanent nerve and tissue damage to his mouth, tongue, and gastrointestinal system.
What a nightmare.
Medical treatment, according to his lawyers, will not cure Enright's injuries. There's no potential for improvement. It will only get worse over time. The trial ended with jurors taking 2 hours to award Enright $3 million in past damages and $5 million in future damages. That seems a little low.
It does seem low.
Considering some of the ones we've seen before, some of the cases we've seen before.
Yeah, the lap burn from the coffee was like $8 million at McDonald's. Remember that?
The chemicals contained in the cleaning compound were meant to liquefy and adhere to organic material. And that's what it did to his insides. He'll have lifelong internal damage, lifelong burning sensation in his tongue, loss of taste, ulcers in the esophagus, and permanent damage to bodily tissue.
Wow. Jesus.
Messed up.
It's horrific, especially since it's supposed to attach to organic material.
Exactly. All right, this is out of Denver. A 71-year-old man has been released from jail after being arrested for using a permanent marker on a basketball court at a rec center to identify the boundaries used for pickleball.
Okay.
Arslan Gooney. I guess it's
Arslan Gooney.
Or maybe it's Gunny. G-U-N-E-Y.
It's, but both are bad.
Arslan Gooney turned himself into jail on Thursday morning. He is facing a felony charge of criminal mischief for causing $10,000 in damages to the pickleball court at the rec center.
Mr. Gooney, why did you do that?
Heart being tied.
Okay.
Arslan was released from jail Thursday on a personal recognizance bond, which means he didn't have to pay a bond because he agreed to return to court. Gooney has been suspended from all Denver rec centers. He could face 1 to 3 years in jail.
Wow.
The
markings were for pickleball, right?
Yeah. He was very resourceful, so I don't know what's going to happen to Gooney.
You Gooney!
I feel kind of bad for the guy.
Especially since he's living life as Arslan Gooney.
Mm-hmm. In Ireland, a father of two threatened to kill his sons as he thought that ghosts had gotten into them after he took 3 magic mushrooms to relax, but instead suffered a drug-induced hellish nightmare, court heard.
I got some bad news for you, boy. Sense your demons, now I'm going to have to kill you.
The 38-year-old father was in tears and holding one of his sons when the police arrived at the family home. The judge, David McHugh, ordered the man to enter into a peace bond for 1 year. Police went to a house in West Dublin after neighbors reported hearing the defendant threaten to kill his 2 sons. The officer said the defendant had consumed 3 truffles and thought the devil was inside his sons, who were aged 2 and 4 years at the time.
Guys, can you shut off the Xbox? I have to murder you now because you're devils.
He said this appeared to be a once-off incident and the children had not suffered any lasting effects. The defense solicitor, Patrick McGarry, said that he was trying to relax at home and after a hard day's work. He was drinking wine, had taken 3 truffles, which were similar to magic mushrooms.
Wow.
He believed the truffles would relax him, but he took too many and suffered a drug-induced hellish nightmare. The solicitor said a quick Google of the substance showed that truffles could cause temporary altered states of consciousness where a person's perception of reality changes.
So anyone who's ever taken mushrooms, I always thought you got to watch how much you take, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he that seemed to be a knowing overdose.
I don't know. No, not sure. And sometimes you don't know what strength you're getting.
I didn't know how much I was taking.
He got it into his head that a ghost had gotten into his 4-year-old son, and that's when the shouting began. So
did a ghost just get into you?
He was arrested, and they're keeping an eye on him.
I think that'd be traumatized the kids, but you say no. They're okay.
How about this? Jurors convicted a California man for orchestrating a murder plot against a doctor who treated his wife, Roberto Elmo Lee, 83 years old, was found guilty on Thursday of first-degree murder. Prosecutors said that he had 67-year-old podiatrist Dr. Thomas Schock killed in August of 2018. Co-defendant Mallory Stewart has pleaded guilty as the shooter to first-degree murder. Christopher Costello and getaway driver Raymond Jacquet IV have also been convicted for their respective roles in the killing. So a bunch of people were involved in this.
Mallory.
Authorities said that they found a single page from a California Medical Board document near Schock's body at his home. The document, which featured Costello's fingerprint, concerned Robert's wife, Bonnie Lee, identified by her initials, going to Schock as a patient for an ingrown toenail in 2014. She ended up losing part of her foot and died from an infection in 2016. Authorities said that it was unclear if Schock's treatment had anything to do with Bonnie's death, but a friend of Robert said Robert blamed Schock.
Was it Schock?
In a search of the Lee home, authorities said that they discovered the other pages of the medical board document. So this guy thought the doctor had something to do with his wife's death. So
shock?
He had him killed.
Wow. That's insane.
He got like three or four people on board to help out with it,
For this?
And had them murdered, yeah.
It's amazing how easily people can be convinced to do evil things.
Yep. All right. And that is the one that we will wrap up with. Here's what I'd like to do as we are taking a break. I want to give away my last $25 gift card Jersey Mike's, and we'll take caller number 16 at 215-263-WMMR. Month of Giving is on at Jersey Mike's, and you can help them with Team USA Special Olympics. So tomorrow, 100% of the sales will be donated to these athletes, and you can donate.
Yeah.
Now on their Jersey Mike's app or in stores.
I just donated, and I've never felt better.
215-263-WMMR.
You know what I like about Jersey Mike's?
Caller 16.
These little boxes with the, you got your sandwich and your chips.
That's what they brought us. Yeah. The lunch box.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So let's get you on board and set you up with that. We'll come back. And don't forget, Tattoos Day today. Chance for you to win a Preston Steve tattoo, courtesy of Floating World Tattoo and Piercing on South Street. Text the word tattoo to 39333. We'll be right back.
If you like what you hear, you can see it too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Today is Tuesday. We'll get our second letter for the Word of the Week prize coming up at the end of our program. And you could be right down center for Monster Jam.
Ooh,
and in the pit, too. So that's what that is. We'll get to that. Pierre Robert, our biggest Monster Truck fan here in the entire company. So we'll do that in a little while. In the meantime, we have something else to give. But what am I reading, Nick? You highlighted
just a nice text. Nice text from somebody who enjoyed that song.
OMG, y'all. Thank you for making me rock out at my boring-ass job. That's what MMR is for.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Mission one.
Yep, absolutely. So we're happy to supply that entertainment, my friend. Lesson question for today. We have a pair of tickets to see Tom Segura. He's going to be in Atlantic City at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. And that is going to be on, August 27th. And let me see here. Wow. Okay, because of yesterday's weather, Don Henley was inspired to sing a new title for an old song last night. It wasn't Boys of Summer. It was what? 215-263-WMMR. And don't say Boys of Winter. You had to have been listening. It's not that, all right?
Nah.
Because of yesterday's weather, Don Henley was inspired to sing a new title for an old song, Boys of Summer. What was it called? 215-263-WMMR. Do you know? Give us a call if you do.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Natural Lawn of America. Safer for your lawn, kids, and pets. You can schedule their full service program and get free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED. Natural Lawn of America, greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, rapper Lil Zon leaving the hospital after checking himself in for exhaustion and depression. Apparently, Zon was dealing with an existential crisis over why he doesn't have an apostrophe in his Lil. Travis Scott performing on stage for the first time since the Astroworld tragedy back in November. Scott proudly wrote the number one on an OSHA sign reading, number of Travis Scott concerts since people were crushed to death.
Oh, man.
And finally, Nick Lachey cursing and charging at a woman he accused of photographing him all afternoon long as he dined at an alfresco Beverly Hills restaurant. Lachey called the woman a blood-sucking gossip whore, at which point she told him she was a surveyor. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
Yep, we'll look for this answer. Because of yesterday's weather, Don Henley was inspired to write a new song for an old song last night. And what was it called? It is Joe that we're going to go to. Hey there, Joe.
Hey, it's the Boys of Squalor.
Yes. is of squalor, because we had those winter squalls yesterday. Joe got it right, and that means he gets some tickets to see Tom Segura. Saturday, August 27th, that'll be at the Hard Rock Hotel Atlantic City. And tickets are on sale now. HardRockHotelAtlanticCity.com for the complete details.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, just two things for you this morning. Perry Farrell took to Instagram to post a video saluting Taylor Hawkins. And I know we have a clip of it. Do we have the whole thing, or is it a clip?
It's a, I believe it might be the whole thing, Preston. I'm not quite sure, but it's him reading this text.
Okay. It's about 14 seconds.
All right, so let me read this to you. This was a video that he made, and he had said, Taylor Hawkins died yesterday. He said, he was my best friend.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. They were that close. He said, beloved in my home, by my wife, my children, even my dogs. Whenever Taylor came over, we would make music in the den. My dog Cloud would always go and sit right by him. He was one of the most passionate drummers I've ever seen in my lifetime. When I think of him, I sum it up with one word, velocity. He had the gift to maintain a confident, striking, and stroking velocity on drums. He went on to say, there's a large part of my heart that I had reserved for him. I accepted him into my heart when we became friends because he was such a pure guy, so pure of heart. I would receive texts from Taylor, and they were always bits and pieces of songs that he was writing or looking to write or wanted me to listen to. I got music tidbits as often as I got I love yous. We would always start with a song like, do you listen to Yes? And the guy sounds like you. And I say, yeah, I like Yes. And he was just obsessed with music and great songs. My passion for music, that's what our common ground was. Our friendship was based around that. And then we got to know each other. He said he would tell me stories of going to Jane's shows back in the 80s, shows that were pretty underground. So although I didn't make his acquaintance back then, we shared a history. It's almost like the rites of passage. We were young men and we were trying to be great musicians. Little did he know that this one fatal night, he would cement himself in the legends of music for all time. And that's what I think he deserves. He ended by saying, the only sense that I can make of the tragedy is to know that Taylor's now in heaven. He can hear us. What I'm going to do from this day forward is try to make music that I think Taylor would really love. And so he has a clip of a message he left him.
Yeah, it was a voice to text. Okay. So, and he reads the transcript of that text.
Okay.
Take care of each other. And I'll take care of me. And I will see you guys in Sao Paulo. I love you guys. Sleep tight.
So that was, I guess maybe that was their last communications.
Yeah.
So they were really, really close. And I didn't know, you know, he considered him a best friend or his best friend.
Yeah.
So this is terrible. And more stories coming out of what an effect he had on people. And it's just sad that he's gone too soon. And then the final thing I have in music news, so it was a quick one. Roxy Music will reunite for a 13-date fall tour, taking in 10 North American stops. They're coming to Philadelphia.
Roxy Music.
Pretty cool.
Always liked Roxy Music.
Yeah. They weren't one of my top bands, but the songs I like, I really like.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, Brian Ferry's such a passionate singer. So he and the lineup rounded out by Andy McKay. Is somebody eating something?
No, I'm playing Love is the Drug.
Oh, okay.
This is the beginning.
Starts off with somebody.
Yeah. Someone eating.
It's a deer eating a pretzel.
Phil Manzanera and Paul Thompson.
It could have been me very easily in the background, so it's a fair question.
And so they're going to be playing the Wells Fargo Center on...
Love is the Drug, in parentheses, Nick's Banana.
Is that Roxy Music?
We'll turn it up.
Do you think you'll do Avalon?
They're going to be playing September 15th at the Wells Fargo Center. I don't have ticket on sale information in this particular
That'd be cool.
Story,
April 4, 10 a.m.
Okay. All right. That's when you'll be able to get the tickets?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. All right.
Brian Ferry always had this kind of way about him.
Yes, very much
so. Brian Ferry.
Yeah.
I'm going to Monster Jam.
Okay, hang on a second. Is this the dude who sings, Once Upon a Time?
No.
Is that what the song is?
No. You're thinking of Wildest Dreams.
Yeah.
No, that was Moody Blues. That's Moody Blues.
Okay. Like, that's right.
Yeah.
It sounds the same.
Like Justin Hayward?
Yeah.
A little bit. It's of that time, so the production is similar to it. More than this. Such a beautiful song.
It's about him seeing his first monster truck pull.
Well, at that point, you say there's nothing. Yeah. Nothing more than
could
this.
Could there be more than this?
Yes.
Nope.
I don't think so. Huh? They hook up the chains to lumber, pull it across the mud.
Yeah. A big sled.
Big sled, if you will.
Yeah.
Made of mighty oak.
Yeah. Who knew Roxy music? And that song inspired by a monster truck.
Well, those great truck lilting ballads of the 80s were actually inspired very much by Monster Truck Show.
Listen, so monster truck shows and tractor pulls are two completely different things.
Yes, I know.
When I lived out in the boonies when my band played out in the boonies, we went to a couple of tractor pulls. The stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Just, you know what?
Just like so anticlimactic.
There's
just dumb all the way around.
And yet, bizarrely, when they cover it on TV sometimes.
Yes, they're huge fans.
You know, I'll tell you this. What's the one, Preston, where they're in the mud bogs?
Yep. I know what you're talking about, Steve.
And they have these vehicles with riveted.
Really big tires.
Yeah.
And they go as far as they can into the water or all the way across. I know.
It's amazing.
I used to see that run on TV, too, and I'm like,
okay.
This is stupid as well. You thought that was amazing?
Yeah, you've taken making mud pies as a kid and turned it into a 1,500 horsepower event.
All right, Preston.
You're watching it right here. It's kind of cool.
Every Sunday for the rest of the year, if you had to, would you do a tractor pull or lawnmower races?
They're almost one and the same.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean?
They are. They're the same mechanism.
They're interchangeable to me. So.
I love these souped-up lawnmowers.
Wow, look at that thing move 50 yards. That was amazing. You know, we're looking at a compilation of...
Kathy, can you explain this to us?
Tractor pulls.
We know this is your thing.
I'll go to line dancing.
All right. Anyway.
We'll do this for a sorority event.
That's it. That's music news. And dear tractor pull man. The TPN.
Yeah. On the President's T-shirt. Tractor pull news.
I think Pierre's doing a block
there. I like it. People can relate.
Bill loves it.
People like trucks.
They like to pull things.
Right. Let's give away some movie passes to a movie called Ambulance. It stars Jake Gyllenhaal. It's directed by Michael Bay. And the screening is going to be Tuesday, April 5th, so 1 week from today.
It's supposed to be really good.
And we can take four callers right now, 215-263-WMMR, and you will be able to go see this. Not only Jake Gyllenhaal, but Yahya Abdul-Mateen, the second, and...
is Angelina Jolie in it?
Aza Gonzalez. No, I don't think Angelina Jolie is in this.
Is Terry Bradshaw in this?
Maybe Terry Bradshaw. It stars as Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Rated R, only in theaters.
And then I did a movie called Hacks.
215-263-WMMR. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. Make sure you stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. It's not.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Fancy. Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Let me check. Nick, can you pull up the MMR Madness matchups for today? Because it returns. We took the day off yesterday. We didn't think it was appropriate to do it right after the death of Taylor Hawkins over the weekend. So we are going to reinstate that today. And Madness starts at noon with Pierre. It'll be Linkin Park against Tool.
Oh, boy.
Following that up, Rush against Iron Maiden. You know what I'm hoping for there.
Yep.
Sublime against Pearl Jam at 2. Then you have The Who against the Rolling Stones.
Wow.
Two British behemoths going off against each other. Then at 4 o'clock, The Struts against Foo Fighters. 5 o'clock, The Police against Van Halen. Nirvana will battle Chris Cornell and his various bands at 6 p.m. And then, Steve, at 7 o'clock, it's both our bands, Queen against Fleetwood Mac.
Okay, yeah. The fact that Fleetwood Mac had the kind of showing that it had, I'm happy with that.
Me too.
And, you know, Queen is...
Yeah.
Wait, who's your band?
Both of them.
Oh, both. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, both. So I'm happy either way, but I mean, come on, it's Queen, man. You know? I mean, that's yeah. who I'm kind of thinking might, I'd like to see win the whole thing, but you never know. So anyhow, that kicks off today at noon. Pierre Robert, your host, Jackson, your host, Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram City, your sponsor. So, and you are the king, you are the judge, you are the queen, you are the one who makes it happen. So make sure that you can place those votes for the band that you want to win. I would like to thank the Headstrong Foundation for stopping by this morning. We had Cheryl and Phil and Sydney stop in, and they are helping support her, Sydney, through this process. She has cancer. Philly Takes on Cancer Challenge, by the way, is happening April 4th through May 6th. And you can go to headstrong.org to get all the information. There's a 5K coming up specifically that's going to help out Sydney.
Yes.
So contribute, help if you can. We would appreciate it. Thank you to Adam Goldberg and Bill Barretta. Executive producers, co-creators of The Muppets Mayhem. We don't know exactly when that's going to be hitting Disney Plus, but we do know it's going to be happening. And with two really cool people, so we're happy about
Very
that.
Very exciting. Yeah.
And thank you to Jersey Mike's for coming by and dropping off the goodies this morning. And don't forget, tomorrow, make sure you purchase some lunch, some dinner, whatever from them, because 100% of sales will be donated to the Olympics of the USA Special Olympics teams. So
terrific.
Very good stuff there, and we're happy about that. All right. Today is Tuesday, which means we got to give away some ink for Tattoos Day, and we're excited to set up Paula Towie of Glenside.
Hey.
I think it's Towie or Towie. T-O-W-E-Y is what it looks like in Connor's scratch. So Paula is going to get a $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. And it's presented by Floating World Tattoo and Piercing here. Tattoos Day is 1729 South Street in Philadelphia. You want to look at their artwork because they're amazing artists. Visit floatingworldtattoo.com or check them out on Instagram at Floating World Tattoos.
Hey, have we had a person I see face tattoo yet?
No.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Oh?
Somebody tattoo their face.
Right. Oh.
Don't do that. That would be wonderful.
I don't want them to.
You have something to talk to your grandkids about.
That's right. That's right. All right, we need to do the letter today. Casey's doing it.
I got you.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
A, as in abomination.
All right, you have two letters now, three more to go, and then we give away the four-pack of front row tickets and four early access pit tickets for Monster Jam, Saturday, April 16th at Lincoln Financial Field. Monster Jam is the big leagues, the monster truck competition where you'll witness the best drivers in the world. And the most popular trucks tear up the dirt in intense competitions of speed and skill. It's April 16th at the Link, and tickets are on sale now at monsterjam.com. I'm going to thank our sponsors. Preston Steve Show is brought to you today by Acme Markets. You can get free flu shots or COVID-19 boosters at their pharmacy, Acme Fresh Foods, local flavors. And also Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' is the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Tomorrow on the program on Wednesday, we have Fox Good Day, we have a secret text word, and we'll have director John Waters.
Ah, wow. We love John Waters.
Always great to talk to him. He'll be joining us.
He's making a special accommodation for us.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, excellent. All right, that and more tomorrow morning. That's it. We're done. Rage on, and have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, friend. Bye-bye.
WMMR.
Bing there.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.